Good Tuesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jay Stedman. It is much cooler out there this morning than what we saw.
That is much nicer. I should have waited about 36 hours to mow my yard.
I decided to crawl in the attic yesterday because somebody asked me if we had any extra golf clubs from my girls that were laying around because somebody wants to try golfing. So I climbed up there. I was sweating buckets by the time I got out of the attic. It was hot up there yesterday.
Yeah, there's times I got to go up in the rafters of my garage.
Yeah.
And that's where all the heat gets trapped. So it's not cool up there.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was, up in the garage attic. And then there weren't any extra clubs out there.
You should have known that before you climbed up there.
I knew Bailey took hers, but I wasn't sure about Carly's or where they ended up. Who knows? But, yeah, they weren't up there. But I'm like, you can drive to probably any garage sale in town and find clubs for $5. Yeah,
I bought mine that are in my garage rafters. I bought them at Played Again Sports in, like, Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah.
And I know I don't know if it's still open. I think it is. There's a Played Again Sports off of 45th over by where, I don't know, it used to be Famous Dave's. I forget what their restaurant is.
Yeah, and you'll get a good deal. You're not going to get $5 golf clubs like you can at a garage sale. But for somebody who's never golfed before, this now wants to try
granted,
it.
This was 20.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's probably over 20 years ago. It was probably 98, 99, something like that. I mean, we're talking like 25 plus years ago, and I probably spent 125 or something like that on a set, on a full set.
Which is a good deal, but if you don't know if you want to golf and you've never tried it before, you don't want to go spend that much money.
No, I mean, because I'm sure if you get, do you have, not like custom, but do you have some nice clubs?
Yeah, they're not custom, but they're
You get a whole set together, or have you bought one piece at a time?
Because
some people that'll spend like, you know, anywhere from $100 to $500 on like a driver, and it's just like...
No, my first set, because I'm left-handed, they're a little harder to find. My first set, I think my husband bought me
from... She's got to get the weird clubs.
Target or Walmart for like $125, and then about a dozen years later, I bought another set, which I got a good deal on at one of the golf courses from the Golf Pro, but I think those cost me like $400.
Yeah, I could see that.
Something like that. But some people spend thousands and thousands
absolutely
on clubs,
they do.
But... Yeah, if you've never golfed before, you don't want to spend a lot of money. All right, so there was some heavy rain that rolled through the region. I guess we had some rain last night. Keith in North Moorhead said 1500s, there was some rain. I apparently slept through it because I didn't see it.
Obviously.
But yesterday afternoon, Fergus Falls got dumped on anywhere.
Did they really?
2.5 to close to 3 inches of rain.
Yikes.
So, of course, you had some street flooding and other issues that were going on with that. There is still rain out on the radar screen. Just very light stuff that'll pass through the region. It looks like the heavier rain this morning within the next hour or so is going to be central Minnesota, Brainerd, Little Falls, Long Prairie area. So I'm not seeing anything heavier than just some light rain, but you might see some sprinkles again moving through the Fergus Falls area. Possibility we could see sprinkles here in the metro. Cooler, 74. Tomorrow's going to be warmer, and then Thursday we drop into the 70s, and it'll stay in the 70s through next Monday. Bond is set at $1 million for a Fargo man charged with stabbing 14-year-old Jalen Walker of Moorhead to death. 18-year-old Isaac Arndt is charged with second-degree murder in the death of his former girlfriend. He made his first court appearance in Clay County Court yesterday after being extradited from Fargo. Walker was found dead in a wooded area along a trail by the Red River on August 20th. An autopsy found she died of multiple sharp force injuries to her back, torso, and neck. A Moorhead woman was arrested following a two-vehicle crash on I-94 near 25th Street in Fargo yesterday morning. Troopers say 37-year-old Sheena Kelly is facing drug-related DUI charge. She rear-ended a pickup pulling a utility trailer. She suffered serious but non-life-threatening injuries. No one in the pickup was hurt. West Fargo police say someone's been calling residents trying to scam them. The caller claims to be Sergeant Tyler Williams. He tells the resident they have an outstanding warrant and need to pay it off with gift cards. If you receive such a call, hang up and call Red River Regional Dispatch. Somebody will fall for it. They always do.
I know, but I hate those scams. They're not going to, number one, they're not going to call you. They're not going to have you to gift cards to pay for it.
They prey upon the vulnerable.
I know,
but
sometimes the scam is so ridiculous, I don't even know how it works. So please be aware, and if you question that, please call them at their actual number and confirm.
Exactly. Former North Dakota federal prosecutor Lynn Crooks has died. He was 83. Crooks was involved in several high-profile cases, including the 1977 murder trial of Native American activist Leonard Peltier and the 1983 Medina shootout that killed two U.S. Marshals. Crook served in several roles throughout his career, including as first assistant U.S. attorney and acting U.S. attorney, but said his calling was to be a federal prosecutor. North Dakota U.S. Attorney Max Schneider says he was arguably the greatest prosecutor in the history of North Dakota. A man who's scheduled to go on trial for murder is accused of trying to kill a fellow inmate at the Ward County Jail in Minot. Investigators say Kamari Kennedy attacked the victim in the jail's day room last Thursday, leaving him with wounds on his arms and head. Kennedy faces five new charges, including attempted murder. He goes on trial next month for the 2021 murder of 33-year-old Dominique Kelly. A severe storm rolled through the Twin Cities metro last night, causing significant power outages. Over 90,000 Xcel Energy customers lost power. Crews are still working on restorations. The state fair had to close attractions and rides temporarily. Also, events were canceled, including the Happy Together tour. And Republican U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson is blaming Governor Walz for letting Minneapolis burn during the unrest after the George Floyd murder in 2020. Johnson stopped in Minneapolis yesterday to campaign for House Republican candidate Joe Tirab. While standing outside the old 3rd Precinct Police headquarters that burned down, Johnson said while Walz let Minnesota burn, it was Kamala Harris who poured gas on the flames by helping bail out those who held the matches. He says that Harris supported the Minnesota Freedom Fund, which is a nonprofit that pays for bail and immigration bonds for those who can't afford to do so themselves. 5:06, time now for a check on our WDAY Sports with Jay Stedman.
Thank you, Bonnie. We get closer to the end of baseball season for both the Twins and the Red Hawks. First, for the Twins, they dropped their series opener to the Atlanta Braves 10-6 last night. Bailey Ober struggled on the mound. He gave up 9 runs in only 2 innings of work, and he took the loss in that game. In the bottom of the second inning, there was nearly a one-hour rain delay. Like you were talking about the weather down in the cities, Bonnie.
Yeah.
6 Twins drove in a run, led by solo home runs from Kyle Farmer and Matt Wallner. The Twins and Braves continue their series tonight with first pitch scheduled for 6:40. Simeon Woods Richardson will get the start for Minnesota, while Spencer Schwellenbach counters for Atlanta. The FM Redhawks are hitting the road to battle the Kansas City Monarchs beginning tonight. First pitch is scheduled at 6:35. Redhawks enter with a record of 51-42, while the Monarchs are 42-51, and I think their playoff chances are getting kind of dim. They got 7 games left in the regular season before the postseason starts, which obviously the Redhawks have clinched a playoff spot. Minnesota Vikings place offensive lineman Dalton Reisner on the injured reserve list. He was placed on the IR due to a back injury that's limited his availability in practice throughout the majority of camp. He's going to have to miss at least 4 games on the IR and will be eligible to return beginning week 5. The move comes amid Vikings having to get down to that 53-man active roster for the season opener against the New York Giants. Tonight, you can tune in to Primetime Sports from 6:30 to 7 p.m. with Big Game James McCarty and myself. We'll talk about Bison football head coach Tim Polasek's press conference. Plus, it's the week we've been waiting for. Bison at Buffaloes. What's the difference between the two? All that and more.
Buffaloes.
Buffaloes and Bison.
Okay.
Similar but different.
And also, speaking of the Bison, we do have some Bison fan apparel that we will be giving away. Listen all day long for an opportunity to win that. First opportunity coming up here on Bonnie and Friends this morning.
That's right. We've got different apparel. You'll be able to get your choice when you come to the station.
Yeah, T-shirts, sweaters, sweatshirts, caps, and you'll get to pick whatever might fit you or whatever you want there. And thank you to our sponsor, PetroServe USA. They're also sponsoring your live fan cam reports, right?
Yep, we'll be doing some fan cam reports. Obviously, we're not traveling out till tomorrow afternoon, and then we come back first thing in the morning on Friday. So it's primarily going to be us out in Colorado on Thursday.
Does that mean you'll be at work Friday morning bright and early? No, you won't.
No, we have to be at the airport. I could probably call in because I'll probably be at the airport when you're just getting the show started.
That's okay. JT is going to hang out with me Thursday, Friday, so we'll be all good.
Yeah.
All right, checking out your forecast. Variable clouds today. A few showers or sprinkles possible through the afternoon. 74 for our high. North winds 10 to 20. 57 the overnight low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, warm, and humid. 83 for the high, south winds 10 to 20. Then a cold front is going to swing through Wednesday night, bringing a chance of storms that could be strong. Cooler, much windier on Thursday. Gusts upwards of 40 miles an hour out of the west, southwest possible. Thursday's high 75, low 64, and highs through next Monday only in the low to mid 70s.
Is it going to get colder than it is now?
Mm-hmm. For our high temps, yeah.
Well, I mean, today's high is supposed to be 74. Warms up
we
tomorrow.
We cannot complain about it being chilly.
No, I'm just
because
saying.
Dean will thump both of us because we hate it when it's hot.
I'm just saying, like, if we're in the 70s, if it's going to get colder than that, I mean, we can break out sweatshirts.
Well, the overnight lows are going to drop down into the mid-50s, basically.
Well, I'm looking at my watch and I'm going, well, it's only 59 degrees outside right now. Yeah. No wonder why it felt so nice out.
Yep, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we'll be in the mid-50s for our overnight lows. And, yeah, through Monday, Monday's high next Monday.
71?
Memorial Day, yeah. Labor Day. 71. 71.
Yeah, don't mess up that holiday.
No, I got it right. You threw me off when you threw out the temperature, so.
I'm just excited for that type of, look at that forecast. I mean, that's like our weather, Bonnie.
I know. I'm loving that after tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to be sticky.
Dean's
going to
be like, I don't like the 70s, get Blue Lake. All right, whatever.
Yeah, a lot of us like it when it's cooler and you can do whatever. All right, mostly clear. We have, or mostly cloudy. It's clouded up out there. We have 59 degrees here at our WDAY radio studios. High top, high 29 in South Fargo. 59 winds north at 8. It is 5:11. National news from ABC coming up. Then a question of the morn and a song of the morn straight ahead. Tuesday morning. Welcome. Thanks for being here. Bonnie Mastotti, Jace Denman, and you. Our question of the morn. We want to know. This one could be fun.
It's a little weird at times.
Do you have any recurring dreams? What are they about, and what do you think they mean?
Do they have to be reoccurring dreams, like currently, or just...
I don't know.
I mean, because I know there's been a time in my past when I was a kid, I had...
Okay, you can bring that up.
A reoccurring dream, I guess. Okay. Leads the same theme.
Okay, well, reoccurring dreams, what are they about? What do you think it means? Give us a call, 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Maybe we can work through this together. Maybe our listeners are.
Do you want me to lay down? You want me to lay down on the couch and you can get inside my brain?
Just lay on the floor. We're not going to make you that comfortable. You got work to do this morning.
Come on,
get after it. Let's go. 5:23 Tuesday morning. Good morning to you. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends. Well, the sun's almost over.
There's a light there. You'll know when the microphone's on.
Talk down that ramp.
Yeah, I guess.
You're kind of bossy this morning over there.
That's because I got the buttons.
Yeah, I know. Because I'm nice and I let you have the buttons.
No, I'm nice and let you sit in the princess chair.
Yeah, it's okay sometimes. I prefer to run the show, but it's fine.
You'd prefer to be in charge of everything, even though he's like, I don't want to have to be a bossy or whatever. But
I am bossy. I'm not the boss, but I'm bossy. You can't. No, that's not very nice.
Gotcha.
That's not very nice. All right, question of the morning. We want to know, do you have any reoccurring dreams? What are they about? What do you think they mean? Give us a call, 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio at WDAYradionow.com, or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Roger says... Hang on, I got it. It's Roger. All right, weirdest one ever. Had it maybe a dozen times. He's driving a Greyhound-type bus through a huge apartment. Through the apartment, and he can't find his way out. He keeps getting stuck in mud. He thinks it just means he's nuts. Oh, apartment complex. He added apartment complex, but... I wonder what that means. Like, you're just like, life is heavy, maybe? You're kind of getting mirrored down in mud?
Maybe.
There's supposedly meanings to our dreams, I guess.
Well, I think in a sense, to some extent, I think that's true because, it's your subconscious, but there's certain things that, bother you, some certain things that are on your mind. Because think about how many times you watch a specific type of show. Maybe you've watched a horror movie or something and you have a bad dream after that. So that's like kicking around in your brain somewhere,
But that'd be a nightmare probably.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying that's a dream. I'm just saying that affects the dreaming process.
Your psyche,
what kind of mood you're in. Like if you've had, let's say you've had a really bad day at your job, whatever that case is. Maybe you argued with the boss, you argued with a coworker, it's just a terrible day, yada, yada. Well, then you have a weird dream about, getting into an argument or a fight at work or something like that, or maybe there's some type of intense situation in your dream and you can't really place who the face is, because a lot of times you can't really figure out who the other person is, because then you wake up and you're like, I think that was like my spouse or my old gym coach or something like that, but it wasn't really them. And I've had dreams where I literally have had, like, it's almost like in the soap opera where like they change the actor playing the specific character, and it's like the role of Jace is now played by James McCarty, and everybody just acts like, you know, nothing's changed.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have that where you have, like, you know, a spouse or a friend, all of a sudden it's a different person than it is in real life. So there's weird things that happen in your dreams.
I'm really bad about remembering dreams, but I know I
do. So am I.
I do dream, but yeah, sometimes you'll just dream about random people in who have been in your life and maybe not currently, and then you're like, you have them here in your workplace, and it's like,
oh,
you're,
yeah,
you're trying to like why are they at my workplace, and why are they in my dream?
Yeah, or you've got a dream where all of a sudden it's kind of like, but not really like it's like your childhood home, and that's like, you know, instead of being at your house that you have now, all of a sudden you're in like your childhood home, but that's still home in your house, and your spouse is there with you. So there's just weird things that kind of get merged into these dreams that it's hard to understand exactly what they mean.
I think Jay's is probably more of a nightmare. He says his reoccurring dream would be more or less of a memory of when he was young. He got his bare feet stuck under the automatic doors at Northport Hornbacher's in the 70s. He said it was traumatic, peeled the toenails right off his feet. So he keeps remembering this. That would be like a traumatic memory.
Yeah, that's definitely a traumatic memory, and it just keeps popping up. When I was a kid, so we had this place, way we walked home. At the end of the grade school, you could go out the back door of the grade school, and you could walk across kind of 1 yard, and there was my mom's parents, my grandpa and grandma Harms, right? Mm-hmm. And so from there, you'd walk kind of down the street, then there's this open kind of area, which is our practice field for football back in the day. So you'd walk across that. It used to be kind of an old softball field, and then you'd walk across the street, gas station, the neighbor's home that owned the gas station, and our home. I had a reoccurring dream that I was going home, kind of picked up from about my grandma's house, and I'd be walking across the field, but there was somebody or something chasing me. And
that's scary.
And so as far as over the years go, what it looked like more or less, it looked like it would be closer to someone that's dressed up as a team mascot at a sports game, because it was like a person in this big kind of purplish outfit on or whatever, but they were chasing. And as soon as I got home, it was like my dad or my mom opened the front door, which normally we didn't go in. We went in through the garage. They'd open the front door, and I would come running in, and I would fall down the floor, and I'd lay, you know, I'd end up on my back, and I'm just huffing and puffing because I'm just running as fast and as hard as I can to get away from whatever was chasing me.
And then you wake up.
Probably, yeah. That's kind of where it ended.
Were you ever traumatized by a mascot when you were little? Would that make sense for it or not?
No, I think the mascot or the thing that was chasing me, it definitely wasn't a mascot. It was something
else. It wasn't
else.
Mothman. I just watched a documentary on Unsolved Mysteries.
No.
Mothman, people, there have been hundreds and hundreds of sightings, like in the Chicago area, out on the East Coast, and it's this, it's got like a humanoid body but big wings and red eyes, and there's been so many sightings. Yeah, that's what I was doing this weekend, watching Mothman. I want to see Mothman.
I had that one. I had some type of dream where I was, you'd have a dream where you were either, not so much
the
falling.
The falling business.
It was kind of a falling one, but it was like I would be in a dream and I would see like, it's almost like you're like, say you're at a certain place and all of a sudden you get picked up and you're up really high and you're not falling, but you can just see everything. It looks small and you're just hovering over.
Oh, you're levitating.
Not so much a levitating, but that's kind of hard to explain.
I have a list of what certain dreams mean. If you have a falling
great.
Would be one of them, running, water, etc. And we'll talk more about that coming up right here on Bonnie and Friends. It is 5:30.
I'm Ty Schoenert with your news update. Bond is set at $1 million for a Fargo man charged with stabbing 14-year-old Jalen Walker of Moorhead to death. An 18-year-old Isaac Arndt is charged with second-degree murder in the death of his former girlfriend, making his first appearance in Clay County Court yesterday after being extradited from Fargo. Walker found dead in a wooded area along a trail by the Red River August 20th. An autopsy found she died of multiple sharp force injuries to her back, torso, and neck. A Moorhead woman arrested following a two-vehicle crash on I-94 near 25th Street in Fargo yesterday morning. Troopers say 37-year-old Shayna Kelly is facing a drug-related DUI charge. Rear-ending a pickup pulling a utility trailer, she suffered serious but non-life-threatening injuries. No one in the pickup was hurt. West Fargo police say someone's been calling residents trying to scam them. The caller claims to be a sergeant, Tyler Williams. He tells the residents they have an outstanding warrant and need to pay it off with gift cards. If you receive such a call, authorities urge you to hang up and call Red River Regional Dispatch instead. Construction in Moorhead's downtown continues. Here's President and CEO of Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, Derek LaPointe, saying a public-private partnership was essential to recreating their downtown area.
We got the new Library Community Center project that broke ground on site as well. The renovation of City Hall, a civic plaza that will be there as well. So we understand the importance of not this just being fully private marketplace, but the context of the situation that we're in and how we can kind of grow together and create a neighborhood back again in Moorhead, which was taken out in the 70s with urban renewal.
Other investments LaPointe addressed include the Dilworth-Moorhead City border and the I-94 corridor running through Moorhead, saying more was likely to come in those areas. Former North Dakota federal prosecutor Lynn Crooks has died. He was 83 years old. Crooks was involved in several high-profile cases, including the 1977 murder trial of Native American activist Leonard Peltier, and the 1983 Medina shootout that killed two U.S. Marshals. Crooks served in several roles throughout his career, including as first assistant U.S. attorney and acting U.S. attorney, but said his calling was to be a federal prosecutor. A man who's scheduled to go to trial for murder accused of trying to kill a fellow inmate at the Ward County Jail in Minot. Investigators say Kamari Kennedy attacked a victim in the jail's day room last Thursday, leaving him with wounds on his arms and head. Kennedy faces 5 new charges, including attempted murder, going on trial next month for the 2021 murder of 33-year-old Dominique Kelly. Police agencies across North Dakota are preparing for a boost in traffic enforcement over the Labor Day holiday weekend. There are 2 sobriety checkpoints planned for western North Dakota. There will also be a checkpoint conducted on Friday in an undisclosed location in Williams County. North Dakota Highway Patrol and Dickinson Police conducting DUI saturation patrols Friday and Saturday, and we'll have sobriety checkpoints in Stark County on Saturday.
First with the news when you need to know, WDAYRadioNow.com.
WDAY Radio 534, checking out our WDAY radio forecast. Variable clouds today, few showers or sprinkles possible through the afternoon, 74 for our high. North winds 10 to 20 with an overnight low around 57. Mostly sunny, warm, and humid tomorrow, another sticky day, 83 for the high. South winds 10 to 20. And then a cold front moves through tomorrow night. It'll bring a chance of storms that could be strong. It'll be cooler and much windier on Thursday. Winds gusting upwards of 40 miles an hour out of the west-southwest. Thursday's high right around 75 with a low of 64. Right now in Fargo-Moorhead, it's mostly cloudy. We have 59 degrees here at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds are out of the north at 8 miles an hour. Our question of the morn, do you have any reoccurring dreams? What are they about, and what do you think they mean? 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Dave in Grand Rapids, good morning. This one's sad. He says, trying to find his deceased father. He misses him, and he never got to say goodbye.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like you said before.
Like
that's
racks your brain.
Well, it is, but it's also another kind of traumatic issue. And so your brain is still, I mean, I think it still wants closure. I mean, that to me seems like the easiest explanation of it, but it's not going to help him as far as his dreams go. Because obviously, even though he may have come to terms with it, there's still part of him that wants that closure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of... It's not the same, but like when my paternal grandmother passed away, I was down in training for my IRS career, and so I wasn't able to be there for the funeral. And that was something that I don't recall it ever having any impact on dreams I had, but it was something I felt guilty about for a long time.
Yeah.
And finally, when I was in California, my grandfather came out to visit me, and he actually was out there over her birthday, and that was always the time that I had chosen personally to remember my grandmother. I read the funeral announcement. I read what my aunt my uncle and my dad all read at the funeral. And so with him being out there and having good conversations about her at that point in time, that helped kind of
bring some closure
to that. So that's I mean, something like that he's going through, I mean, unless there's a family member you can talk to and just reminisce about it, sometimes it's hard to really kind of let it go.
Yeah, and we can't always be there. I mean, there's sometimes just distance or something else is going on, you know, and you just can't be there for your loved ones.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So
okay, so you mentioned falling, and I have had that only when I'm extremely exhausted, you know, years when I had to cover flooding or blizzards or something like, and I'm running on fumes of an hour or two of sleep. You like doze off or whatever, and then you jolt awake and you feel like you're falling.
Yeah.
A drop generally means instability in your life, but a free fall with no clear beginning or end represents a lack of connection in the world around you. For me, I just think it was exhausted. It's just like you fell asleep and you don't want to miss something, so then you jolt awake.
I think the only time I really, quote unquote, dreamed I was falling was kind of like when you're not really falling. You're not asleep yet.
You're in between.
You're in that spot where you're trying to fall asleep, and then you're...
But it's weird.
You let your mind wander. I mean, to me, that's always what helps me go to sleep, is that you don't... If you sit there and think about something that's either bothering you or something that happened today, you just kind of keep thinking. You keep yourself awake. So if you just kind of let your mind do its thing, and it might be, you know, falling thoughts for whatever, it's easier to allow yourself to kind of drift off to sleep. But if you're dreaming and you're just like, oh, I'm falling, and then, you jump.
Or if you have to get up for something and you're falling asleep and you know you have to get up, you'll jolt awake like that. Yeah, that's a weird feeling.
I think it's easier to fall asleep when you know you're not supposed to fall asleep. I can't fall asleep here. I'm at work. But then you're at home.
Why is that? Then you can't sleep at night.
Then you get home and you're just like, oh, I'm on the couch. I can take a 3-hour nap if I want to. Ah, no, I can't sleep.
Yeah. Do you have any reoccurring dreams? What are they about? What do you think they mean? Give us a call. Phone lines are open and we love to chat with you guys. 701-293-9000. You can email us studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. 5:43. Good morning. You got to be quicker on the microphones.
No,
that's the third time, dude.
Wait till the light. That's all you have to do.
I've got other things. I'm looking at three other things. I don't have time to look at a light. Just turn my mic on, man. I'm always on. Ready to go.
I can just leave your mic off and I can intro you.
Mostly clear, cloudy, 59 degrees, north winds at 8. We will
see. It might
see.
Be mostly clear if you have a good attitude.
It was mostly clear earlier, but it's clouded up. So we have mostly cloudy right now. We will see variable clouds today, few showers or sprinkles possible through the afternoon with a high of 74. In Twin Cities Metro got dumped on. They had some strong storms that rolled through there overnight. Lots of power outages earlier in the day, the afternoon hours. Fergus Falls got dumped on with strong thunderstorm, lots of rain, about 2.5, close to 3 inches reported in some spots, and just 15 hundredths here last night in North Moorhead, being reported by Keith in North Moorhead. Dina will have more on our forecast coming up about 6:05. Question of the morning, do you have any reoccurring dreams? What are they about? What do you think they mean? If you want to weigh in on that, 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio@wdayradionow.com, or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Sheena says, I'm in high school, which was like more than 22 years ago, and can't figure out the combination on the lock to get in her locker. I wonder if that happened a lot like in high school.
Well,
and she'd just get like all stressed out about it. And so this memory is just locked in her
dreams. What does the dream mean when you show up to your high school in your underwear?
I don't know.
I thought you had a list that you knew what all these meant.
It doesn't say anything about underwear.
Okay, well, what about if you show up somewhere anywhere? It doesn't have to be school, but you show up somewhere and you're in your underwear, you're naked or whatever.
I remember the Brady Bunch episode. Wasn't it like Marsha was taking her driver's license test and she was so nervous they said just to pretend that your instructor was in his underwear so you'd see like captions in his boxer shorts to try to divert. I don't know. Gentlemen, if you dream of caves, tunnels, doorways, mossy caves, bureau drawers, that can represent a desire for affection of the need to get closer to a female in your life.
Oh, because it's
trapped
a cave.
In a tunnel or a cave.
A cave and a tunnel. I get it. See what you did there?
Mossy cave. No, I'm just reading the list here. I think running is a common one.
It's a family show, Bonnie.
I know. Running is a common one. People wake up and they're all freaked out, like they think they're being chased.
Mm-hmm.
Being chased means you are running away from something that is too difficult, or you're avoiding a confrontation. I don't think I've ever had a dream about being chased. Not that I remember.
I think the only thing that I would say is that, not that it was terrible or anything, but you know, you get picked on a little bit at school, so maybe that's what the whole running home thing was for me when I was a kid. I don't know.
Maybe. Did you get picked? You had 8-7 kids in your class.
Yep. In my class, that doesn't mean that was
the older
kids.
We
had older kids.
Older kids didn't like you because you spouted off too much or what?
No, I was fairly quiet back then.
Okay. Maybe. Or you're avoiding a confrontation. Maybe you did something wrong as a little person and you were afraid to tell. And it was probably not the biggest deal, but you were still afraid to tell your mom and dad about it.
Could have been.
Yeah. Or maybe a work confrontation. You don't want to address something, and so you're having dreams or nightmares that you're running away from it.
That explains a lot of my dreams lately.
I don't remember much about dreams. Aliens, I don't think I've ever dreamed about an alien. It says dreaming of creatures from outer space can be an indication that some outside force is playing a role in your life and you're uncertain of your surroundings or something that's going on in your life.
Hmm. Interesting. Does it say anything about it? What if those aliens abduct you?
No, it doesn't. Well, people report that. Are you a non-believer? Like, I'm not going to be a non-believer. I'm just like, I've never seen it happen, but I
personally obviously haven't seen it happen, but I mean, I just think the universe and the galaxies are so big that I'm not saying it's not possible.
There's some weird stories out there, mm-hmm. and they seem believable.
Although some of the people that get abducted, you're like, that's who you picked? That's who you picked to represent the human race is that dude? I was out there, and I saw them dirty lights, and then there's this woo, and all of a sudden I was up there with the little grays, and I don't know what they wanted from me. They had long fingers.
Yeah.
Long fingers, if you know what I mean.
I don't know. Like, I don't ever want that to happen to me. And then how many people, like, if it's happened to them, like, they don't say anything because they don't think anybody's going to believe them. So maybe it happens more often than...
You'd probably get along really well with aliens. I'm just saying.
I don't want to find out. I don't want nothing to do with aliens.
Their ship flies so smooth and there's no line, so you don't have to worry about people and you can get from here to Chicago like that.
That would be the scariest thing in the world if that was... I mean... Like, if that happened, please don't come find me, aliens. I'm not going to say it's not legit. I don't know. There's a lot of believable stories.
I don't want to be abducted.
No, that would be the worst. Mark says he used to have a dream that he was still in college, missing half a semester and waking up late for his finals. He'd wake up with terrible anxiety. Don't go back to college.
I've had a few times in the last 5 to 10 years, whatever. I've had dreams where I'm like back in high school playing sports.
Really?
Well,
that's probably a good memory, reminiscing.
Somewhat, it is a good memory, but it's kind of like all of a sudden, well, the thing was, if you look at like when I started high school, to some extent, I could have, there was 4 of us in my class that were all September birthdays, and now you can't, normally September birthdays, they get held back to the next year, right? So to some extent, I graduated kind of early. So, I mean, I didn't turn 18 until I was on campus as a freshman in college, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So... there's part of me that's just like, well, man, I probably technically could have been held back and maybe I would have been better at sports or something. But then again, there's, you know, kind of looking back and going, well, if I would have really taken, like nowadays kids, I mean, they train year round like their specific sport and then they get really, really good. And it's just like, well, maybe if I'd have taken the weightlifting and working out and all this stuff.
Yeah, we monkeyed
more
around. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like coaches say, go to the gym or go to the weight room and go get some weightlifting. And we do like a bench press and we're like, dude, you just sit there and BS.
And unsupervised. The coach never came to the weight room. It's like, we'd go to the weight room and do our thing and we're done. We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So especially that it didn't get better when we were the upperclassmen and we just like, man, whatever.
Bonnie has a dream, a reoccurring dream about getting lost in a hotel. Mm. She's not sure why. She forgets her phone and loses the people she's with. That would be scary.
Oh, I would stink.
Because when you're dreaming this stuff, you think it's actually going on, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Getting lost. Maybe that would be the mazes and tunnels thing, but it says...
The biggest problem I have is that there's so many people out there will say that I have this dream and then last night I dreamt about this and they're
some
always...
Some people are very clear on their dreams.
Well, they're very clear, but they also, they remember their dreams all the time. I'm pretty sure that I have more dreams than I realize, but I don't remember many of them. It's like I go to sleep and then I wake up and it's just like, you know, what was I dreaming about? I have no idea. I don't think I don't think I dreamt about anything last night as an example.
Yeah, like I said, mine are just like sometimes little random things, like people who have been in my life mm-hmm. over the decades pop up in these just random dreams. They're not scary or anything, but it's just like, yeah, but that person wouldn't be in my life at this time here with me doing this. But
exactly.
I suppose it's just people you're fond of or whatever.
It could be, but I mean, it'll be like your coworkers are now played by your fifth grade teacher and your second grade best friend. You're like, what is going on?
Do you have any reoccurring dreams? What are they about? What do you think they mean? Give us a call if you want to weigh in on our question of the morning, 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Now, I don't know why you – this would be an awful dream, water. Because don't we – when we hear running water, don't we have to go to the bathroom?
I guess. Maybe I don't have dreams like that. Somebody,
I don't want water in my dream.
I think I read a post this last week that said something about, like, if there is a toilet in your dream, do not use it.
I remember wetting the bed a couple times when I shared it. And we would have been in our old house yet, so I would have been under the age of six. So probably four, five, six, whatever. But I slept with my sister.
No. Your sister is probably traumatized
by
that.
So it's like, what is like, you think you got up as a kid. You think you got up to go to the bathroom when in reality you didn't until the bed feels really warm and you have a sister punching you.
I know.
But yeah, dreaming of water, I don't know. A calm stream of water stands for security, safety, and comfort. Turbulent water, on the other hand, can mean there's a disruptive force in your current environment or that you feel overwhelmed. I suppose like if you're in some rapids or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, life is chaotic or something, but. Yeah, I don't want water in my dreams. I don't want to relive my childhood. See, I tell you, I remember a lot of stuff since I was a little kid. Like under the age of, you know, four, five, six, three even, I've got a lot of vivid memories from when I was very little. 5:53, we are going to check in now with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Can I talk now? You got my mic on?
The mic is on.
It is 5:55. Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman. If you want to weigh in on our question of the morning, do you have any reoccurring dreams? What are they about? And what do you think they mean? Our phone lines are always open, 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio@wdayradionow.com, or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. We do have some Bison swag to give away, Bison apparel. And if you want to win that, be listening to WDAY Radio throughout the day, all week long, for an opportunity to win some of that. T-shirts, sweaters, sweatshirts, caps, you name it. You can choose what you want when you get here to pick it up if you win. And it's brought to you by PetroServe USA, and they are also sponsoring our live fan cam updates.
Yep. We're not going to be live while we're doing it. It'll be recorded live. You know what I mean?
All right. Ty Schoenert's giving me a note. We've got a structure fire along Main Avenue in Fargo. It's in the 3200 block of Main. Firefighters are on the scene of that. No word if they've got it under control yet or if there are any injuries. We'll have more coming up with Ty Schoenert here at the top of the hour on WDAY Radio News. Also, in addition to our Bison apparel giveaway, Bison swag, we have somebody's going to win a gift certificate to Great Harvest Bread Company. What are they serving up today over there? They brought in a bunch of sandwiches yesterday. Tuesday. Justin Storm was eating a chicken salad sandwich yesterday.
We were all eating chicken.
Phenomenal. Did you get one?
Yeah, James and I got to split one on white bread, which, you know, it's not your normal sandwich white bread. I mean, where it's really soft and you're just, it's bread, right?
You get your pick of what you want. There's a dill bread that's really popular, too, to put it on. Potato dill bread. That was yesterday's.
I would prefer the white bread.
Well, everybody has different things that they like.
But the white bread, the texture of it was very hearty, if you want to call it that. In the chicken salad, big chunks of chicken. I think there was, I think it's usually pecans. You usually throw pecans in your chicken salad. No grapes, though.
Some people do.
It was awesome. And I only got half a sandwich.
Check out they've got fantastic lunch sandwiches. They've got breakfast sandwiches over there at Great Harvest Bread Company. If you want to pick up bread today, cracked pepper parmesan, cranberry orange, the plain sourdough. Their muffin is double chocolate brownie muffin and pumpkin chocolate chip.
Lots of chocolate.
You're all about the scones.
Scones.
Cinnamon chip
and rhubarb.
Oh, peanut butter cookies today.
Peanut butter cookies.
I love peanut butter cookies. So, yeah, Great Harvest Bread Company. And, again, one of you is going to be winning a gift certificate coming up sometime this morning. Be listening every day. Here on Bonnie and Friends, we give out a gift certificate. This is kind of a sad story. A bald eagle. They thought it was injured in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out they say it was just too fat to fly. I'm like, how does it get fat? Are people feeding it? But no, I don't know.
How does my cat keep getting fatter?
Well, that's a different story.
No,
though,
it's not.
When it comes to your cat, Missouri Department of Conservation, they captured the eagle and they say they think it was eating raccoon roadkill. And that's why it got so fat.
Are raccoons kind of a fatty meat?
I don't know. Maybe.
Or was there just that many raccoons that are roadkill and the eagle's just like, it's a smorgasbord here.
I've never heard of such a thing, a bald eagle being too fat to fly. So they took it to a rehab center and, you know, slimmed it down a little bit and then they released
it. We're
going
to need you to lose some weight there, Sam.
A bald eagle. I saw one about...
Maybe it had a hairpiece.
No. There's so many of them around now. Mm-hmm. I saw one right on the street by our house, like a block away from us when I was coming home from work about 5 years ago. It was feeding on a rabbit. And it's like, it's cool to see them that closer. But when we golfed and camped in Park Rapids, I had one that, you know, flew and swooped right down in front of me about 5 feet away when I was driving the golf cart. So they're around. There's a lot of them around. But when you see them that close, like right in front of you or feeding on the street, that's a cool sight. We are WDAY Fargo. It is 6 o'clock.
I'm Ty Schoenert with your news update. Fargo first responders on the scene of a structure fire along Main Avenue. Several emergency vehicles are responding at roughly 5.05 a.m. in a 3200 block of Main Avenue. While it's unclear what businesses the blaze began in, several establishments are nearby, including Napa Auto Parts and Overloaded Laundry Service. Authorities not sharing if there's any injuries or the extent of the damage to the structure, and stay with us as more details do become available. Bond set at $1 million for a Fargo man charged with stabbing 14-year-old Jalen Walker of Moorhead to death. 18-year-old Isaac Arndt charged with second-degree murder in the death of his former girlfriend, making his first appearance in Clay County Court yesterday after being extradited from Fargo. Walker found dead in a wooded area along a trail by the Red River August 20th, an autopsy finding she died of sharp force injuries to her back, torso, and neck. Construction in Moorhead's downtown continues. Here's President and CEO of Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, Derek LaPointe, saying a public-private partnership was essential to create their own downtown area.
We got the new Library Community Center project that broke ground on site as well. The renovation of City Hall, a civic plaza that will be there as well. So we understand the importance of not this just being fully private marketplace, but the context of the situation that we're in and how we can kind of grow together and create a neighborhood back again in Moorhead, which was taken out in the 70s with urban renewal.
Other investments LaPointe addressed included the Dilworth-Moorhead city border and the I-94 corridor, saying more was likely to come in those areas. West Fargo police say someone's been calling residents trying to scam them. The caller claims to be Sergeant Tyler Williams. He tells the residents they have an outstanding warrant and need to pay it off with gift cards. If you receive such a call, authorities urge you to hang up and call Red River Regional Dispatch instead. And Republican U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson blaming Governor Tim Walz for letting Minneapolis burn during the unrest after the George Floyd murder in 2020. Johnson stopped in Minneapolis yesterday to campaign for House GOP candidate Joe Tarabe while standing outside the old 3rd Precinct Police Headquarters that was burned down. Johnson said while Walz let Minnesota burn, it was Kamala Harris who poured gasoline on the flames by helping bail out those who held the matches. And he says Harris supported the Minnesota Freedom Fund, which is a nonprofit that pays for bail and immigration services for those who can't afford to do so themselves.
First with the news when you need to know. WDAYRadioNow.com.
6:03, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki here now with a check on our forecast. Boy, Fergus Falls got dumped on yesterday. Woo! Holy.
3 inches in... less than a half hour.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Wow.
It was raining at the equivalent of a little over 6 inches per hour down there.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah. That's obviously they had some flooding.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, there was a little bit of hail down there with it, too. Oh. So, you know, I mean, you get that heat and humidity, and look how nice it was up here in terms of, you know, the dew points. You know, so that cool front pressed through here kind of stalled right over Lakes Country, bam, those thunderstorms fired. So.
And then the Twin Cities Metro got dumped on last night,
yes,
too.
They did. Yeah, it was pretty active overnight to our south, but we've got some showers on radar right now. One batch from about Jamestown up through Devil's Lake, and then there's a small little batch of light rain that's about ready to move into the valley here in the FM area over the next hour. But for the most part today, we're going to see a lot of dry hours, but any showers are going to be relegated mainly to the morning hours. Currently, temperatures in the upper 50s throughout the FM area and low 60s out in Lakes Country. A little cooler off to our west, 56 in Jamestown and 55 in Grand Forks. We'll see some morning showers scattered about the area this morning. Again, we're not looking at a lot of rain at all. And then clearing the skies as we head towards evening. So we should have a beautiful sunset that we'll be able to see with the highs today right around 76 and a north wind at 5 to 15. Mainly clear tonight, mid-50s with light winds out of the north. Then winds ramp up out of the south tomorrow, 10 to 25 and gusty at times with highs in the low 80s on Wednesday. But a pretty vigorous cold front will hit Wednesday night. That'll trigger off some storms. Some of those could be on the strong to severe side Wednesday night, and then windy on Thursday with a few leftover scattered showers and highs in the mid to upper 70s. What does the upcoming holiday weekend look like? Has anything changed since yesterday? I'll have more on that coming up after the bottom of the hour.
Crazy wind on Thursday, it sounds like, huh?
Yeah, we could have wind gusts 40, 45 on Thursday. Yeah, that's a strong area of low pressure that'll be traversing through southern Canada. So I'm sure you guys have, and you sent me an article.
I did, the corn sweats. Let's talk about it.
Have you ever heard about it before?
I think I've heard either you or Bridget mention it in the past. So this was in Preston, Minnesota. They hit a 120-degree heat index. That's in the southeastern part of the state. So tell us about the corn sweats.
So Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, wherever there's a lot of corn planted, you get what's called evapotranspiration. So in other words, all the moisture that's in the roots of the corn move up the stalk into the leaves and evaporates out during, you know, the July and August, especially August, but even in July. And, what that does is that adds to the dew points, adds to the humidity. So they call it corn sweat. It's a legit thing. You get when the corn is maturing, you'll get maximum evaporation out of that corn. And so if your city or a small town, it's usually small towns, if they're near a cornfield, you'll have dew points close to 80. I mean, and if you get the heat along with that, you get 95 degrees and a dew point of 80, 82, you're going to have horrendous heat index readings.
Wow.
So, when I worked in Omaha, there was a small little town in southwestern Iowa called Shenandoah. And it was, I mean, literally the town was surrounded by corn. So they consistently had dew points 80, 82.
Oh my gosh.
My parents' house, literally on the edge of our property, there's a small field and it either has been alfalfa or it's been corn. And I think last year when we were down there, they had corn planted in that field
Makes a huge difference.
So, I mean, it's like literally probably 20 feet from the garage or something like that. It's right there.
Yep.
So, I mean, I could see that my parents' place, if they had a little weather station there, it'd probably be way different than someplace out of town.
Oh, yeah. So let's do – and it's a big difference. Like if wheat's planted there, not so much. But if corn just
is
maximizes
it. Is it because of the
it.
Shape of the corn leaves and stuff?
It's just because
corn
– corn will – evaporate out more moisture. A, the plant is bigger than, and B, it absorbs the root system really soaks in the moisture and then that moves to the top of the plant. How many gallons of water per acre? So an acre of how many gallons of water are evaporated per day out of an acre of corn during this corn sweat season?
60. I say it with confidence, so then I'm hoping I'm right. 60.
It's probably more than that, isn't it?
I have no idea. It's got to be like 1,000. Rando guess.
How much?
1,000.
1,000.
I don't know. I don't know how.
And you said 60.
What is it?
You said 60.
You're talking a whole acre of corn.
A whole acre of corn. 4,000.
Oh, 4,000. Wow.
So he's not so crazy now, is he?
Well, both of them are random guesses. He is kind of crazy, but I don't know.
Yeah, up to 4,000 gallons per day.
Wow. That's
so that would make sense as to why it feels so humid when that corn is maturing.
Yeah, because that field that kind of, you know, it's like an L shape, you might say, because there's a house to the west there. I mean, that's got to be almost, maybe is it a couple acres at least? I mean, I bet you it's because, you know, acres the size of a football field, correct?
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I would think you could fit at least a couple football fields there. Yeah. So yeah, that would be a lot of water being evaporated off.
Right? That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's insane.
Yeah.
So Dew Point in Preston, Minnesota yesterday, 86. Ours was like...
86? Yeah. Really?
What was ours, like 65 or so? You said it's not hot until it's 70. I was miserable at 60 or 65. I climbed up into the rafters in the garage. I came out and I'm just sweating buckets. It's like, it is disgusting. Then I went and got the mail. I'm like, what does Dean mean it's not humid until it's 70? I don't believe you.
Our dew point over the weekend reached 77.
But and yesterday,
for this far north, that's pretty impressive.
So is the dew point...
Yesterday was about 60.
Yeah. So is the dew point different than the humidity percentage then?
What's that?
Is the dew point different than the humidity percentage? Because
they're related. We use the dew point as a more uncomfortable factor because the closer the temperature and the dew point are together, the higher your relative humidity.
Mm-hmm.
But you could have, let's say, a temperature of 100 and a dew point is 70 and your relative humidity is like out of 70. We'll just throw out 70%. Then, you know, that doesn't sound too bad. But your dew point's in the 70s with 100 degrees, your heat index, that's where you factor in. You really keep a close eye on the dew point. Again, anytime it's in the 60s, it starts to get uncomfortable for babies like Bonnie. But once it gets above 70, it's uncomfortable to everybody.
Well, I mean, the humidity was like 73 at some point on Sunday, after I mowed the yard. It was like in the 80s, like Sunday morning when I was out mowing.
So good example. In the morning when your temperatures are close to your dew point, your humidity could be 90%, but it doesn't feel bad.
No, exactly.
Because the temperature is cooler.
Right.
So that's why we look at the dew points as a better measure of how uncomfortable it is. And once that gets to 80... Yeah, just limit your time outside if you can.
Like right now, it's 85% according to the old Apple Watch, but it's only like 58 degrees
outside. So
it's
more humid now than it will be in the afternoon, but it could be more uncomfortable in the afternoon. Because it'll be warmer, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you said, when it's warmer and that humidity's up, then it's really uncomfortable.
Yes.
But if the humidity's up and the temperature's down, then it's not so bad.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more tolerable.
Hands down, Mr. Wysocki is my favorite teacher.
And thank you for joining us for Meteorology 101 this morning.
You're my favorite teacher, Mr. Wysocki. I'm glad class is back in session.
Where's my apple?
I'll give you... I have an apple. I'll give you an apple.
I've got an apple in there.
You should have another one. They're good for you.
How about apple schnapps? You got that?
Nope, I don't have any of that.
Talk to
Kevin down the hall. He might be able to help you out. It is 6:11. We're going to get your national news in from ABC, and then Big Game James McCarty's in with your WDAY Radio Sports.
6:15, time for a check on the local sports scene with Big Game James McCarty. James?
Minnesota Twins, well, Billy Ober had his worst start of the season, giving up 9 runs and 2 innings of work, and there was about an hour rain delay after that second inning for Ober. The Twins would come back out there. They would mount a comeback, but they would ultimately fall short. 10-6 to the Atlanta Braves. They would have a couple of home runs from Kyle Farmer and Matt Wallner, and 6 Twins in total would drive in a run. But an opportunity to rebound this evening at 6:40 with Simeon Woods-Richardson on the mound for Minnesota, while Spencer Schwellenbach will counter for Atlanta. And in the standings for the American League Central, Twins outright in third place at this point. Cleveland still leading the division, Kansas City a game behind Cleveland, and the Twins are a game and a half behind Kansas City. So 2.5 back of Cleveland for the division lead as of right now. All three teams in the playoff race. It's just going to be tough. You got to get some wins here now in the next handful of days. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks hit the road for their final regular season road trip of the season. They're going to begin it tonight in Kansas City against the Monarchs. First pitch at 6:35. Redhawks are 51-42, having clinched a playoff spot, while the Monarchs are 42-51. On the outside of the playoff picture, looking in trying to mount a fierce comeback in clinching that final wild card spot here in the next week or so. And the Vikings, well, preseason football is over. Regular season football around the corner, and we're still getting injuries for Minnesota as they placed offensive lineman Dalton Risner on the injured reserve list. He was placed on it due to a back injury that has limited his availability in practice and camp throughout the majority of camp, and he'll have to miss at least 4 games on the IR. He'll be eligible to return beginning week 5 at the absolute earliest. Vikings are whittling down to their true 53-man roster. Everything has to be finalized here by this afternoon. Mm-hmm. I believe that they have it done already, but there's just some technicalities and things of those sorts they got to get squared away. And tonight, primetime sports at 6:30 with Jason and I right here on WDAY Radio. We'll break down Bison football head coaches Tim Polasek's press conference, and we'll also talk a little bit about the Colorado game week as the Bison take on the Buffs in 2 days.
Were you a wrestling fan growing up? Did you watch the WWF, WWE back in my day?
Yeah, it was WWE.
No, you had backwards,
Bonnie. Since I was a kid.
It was WWE now. It's WWF when we were young.
Yeah.
And then American Wrestling Association, too, back in the day, really far back.
AWA, wow.
Yeah, way back in the day. That's when wrestling was real. We lost a wrestler, a Psycho Sid or Sid Vicious. You might have remembered him from back in the 90s. Mm. Wrestled against Hulk Hogan and all the big names that were in wrestling in the 90s. So I guess he had been battling cancer for a number of years, 63 years old.
That's too bad.
I wasn't into wrestling when it got to this phase. Like back in the day, well, I suppose I was little too, and I remember they even came to my hometown or whatever, and you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's usually like there's some smaller circuits. I know there's one guy I know that I forget which little local circuit it is. He's been doing some wrestling for a number of years now. But like when I was a teenager, I remember on Sundays you could go to church and then you come home and before football games, or maybe it was even during the off season, you could turn the TV on like at 11 o'clock or noon or whatever and watch WWF, and you'd have the Ultimate Warrior and Randy Macho Man Savage and Hulk Hogan, etc. Mm-hmm. Andre the Giant, you know, all those guys.
Yeah, the AWA that was started in the Twin Cities, ran mm-hmm. from 1960 to 1991.
Nice.
Vern Gagne, and then he had a son that wrestled too, and I don't know, Pretty Boy, and there was all sorts of wrestlers, the old AWA, and the Claw, and the Crusher. Do you remember those names?
The Claw, I kind of do, but I'm out of
Baron Von Raschke.
Oh, yeah, that dude, yeah.
And the Crusher, all the good old wrestlers from back in the day, but yeah, watch plenty of that. Oh, this, a storm. And people were in a ride at the time. It happened down at Six Flags in Mexico. You're not going to believe it. We will have details on that coming up next. 6:21 Tuesday morning. Good morning. Thanks for hanging out with us. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman. If you're looking for a place to host your next event, check out Reed's Event Space over at Reese and Riley's Olive Oil and Bistro Bar in Moorhead. Let them host your next party, reunion, corporate gathering. They feature an exquisite Mediterranean cuisine, local ingredients, fresh handmade pasta, and gluten-free options.
Casual or formal, Reed's Event Center offers a unique and sophisticated experience. To book your next party, you can call them at 218-303-1279, or you can visit reeseandrileys.com. Chef and owner Christine is all about that healthy eating, and she knows it's hard to eat healthy on a busy schedule. So Reese and Riley's also offers fresh home-cooked meals to go for pickup in their store, and they season them with their own oils and vinegars. And Reese's meals even help curb cravings without compromising your time or healthy regime. So if you want to swing by, pick up some of those meals, the grab-and-go, or if you want to see the space to book your next event, they're located at 935 37th Avenue South, Suite 120 over in Moorhead. But if you know all this and you want to call them and book that event, 218-303-1279, or if you want to get a idea of what's all going on over there at Reese and Riley's Olive Oil and Bistro Bar and Reed's Event Center, check them out at reeseandrileys.com.
It is 6:23. We've got a gift certificate we will be giving away to Great Harvest Bread Company today. Be listening for an opportunity to win that. We do it every Monday through Friday right here on Bonnie and Friends. We also have some Bison apparel swag we'll be giving away all week long, so it pays to listen all day long this week. For an opportunity to win that, we've got T-shirts, sweaters, sweatshirts, caps. You get to pick what you want if you're one of our winners. And it is brought to you by PetroServe USA. Thank you for sponsoring that. This, I don't like rides to begin with.
come on. Movement
and I get sick, motion sickness. Those swing rides, you know, you go up on that thing.
You spin in a circle?
Yeah, and it kind of raises you up.
Yep.
So at Six Flags in Mexico, a storm was coming through and the riders were up on that 243 feet in the air for 10 minutes. I don't think any of those swings I've seen around here goes that high.
No, the one I did with my girls was, I think it was in the Mall of America.
I think they have or had one there.
But
yeah,
I mean, it didn't go up that high. But I mean, shouldn't the Six Flags have known that there was a storm coming and then kind of like slowed down the number of people that might have been getting in there? And when it got closer and got close enough within a certain radius, be like, nope, we're going to wait till the storm passes.
It was in Mexico. I don't know if that meant.
What town in Mexico?
Guadalajara. Mexico. It's Mexico City. Yeah. And I don't know if, you know, like here in the States and well up here, you'd think you'd have a meteorologist you contract with to keep an eye on storms. I don't know what their protocol is, if anything.
They just give them a weather rock.
I would be like freaking out up there. You're up there. There's a storm. There's thunder. There's lightning. And you are 200. Not like you can jump.
Was it super windy?
That won't be a good ending. I don't know. It doesn't say. It just said they were up there for 10 minutes before they finally managed to bring them down and evacuate them. They had to shut down a lot of their rides and that
obviously
all established procedures were followed, it says. However, you should have seen this coming ahead of time.
The people on that ride, they're just like,
no, don't worry. It's part of the ride. It'll just swing you around a few times.
Oh, yeah. It said the ride ceased operation, leaving these people up in the air during heavy rains and wind. Not exactly where you want to be.
Less than ideal.
Oh, my gosh. I'm clicking on the video now. Oh, yeah. It's windy. You can see. Oh, I would have been.
We're not spinning in a circle anymore. We're just swinging back and forth.
I would have been terrible. What do you do? Like, you're like just there. You have no choice in the matter. But if somebody would have had a panic attack and tried to get out of there, that would not have been cool.
That would have been not good at all.
Wow, that is scary. Hardest working state in the U.S., what do you think?
North Dakota.
Did you guess at that or did you see something?
No, I guessed at that.
That is true. North Dakota is the hardest working state in the U.S. Do you have any idea, like, maybe where?
Oh, I thought you were going to say why. Maybe because they just didn't do it right the first time? I don't know.
I don't know. Average hours worked per week, maybe because we have to work longer. Yes. Number of workers with multiple jobs. So North Dakota tops the states. Where do you think, like, Minnesota or South Dakota fall?
South Dakota in the top 10, Minnesota top 15, top 20.
You saw this.
No, I did not.
South Dakota's ranked fifth.
Ha ha!
Minnesota, we're apparently lazy. We're 21st on the list.
Hmm.
Alaska is up high. Most of them are like states up in this part of the country.
States that have probably ag industry.
I think like Wyoming and Montana. I don't have that list in front of me yet. They were up in the top five too.
Yeah, but I mean Wyoming, Montana. There's a lot of agriculture, things like that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like say the metropolitan
oil
fields. If you broke it down by like cities, I mean, would the hours be the same if you're talking about people that work in a bigger area? You know, where there's more 9-to-5 jobs.
Do they get paid for commuting time, say, like in Chicago and New York City? Probably not.
No, absolutely not.
So they still have to put in a full 8-hour day or whatever? Okay.
Trust me, I had to commute about almost anywhere from a half hour to an hour each way when I was living in California.
West Virginia and North Dakota are the least hardworking. West Virginia and New York at the bottom of the list.
I was going to say, how could you change your mind on North Dakota?
New York.
North Dakota's the hardest working. Now they're not.
North Dakota's the hardest working. And this
West Virginia's not, even though they got like a bunch of miners and stuff there?
I guess. Maybe there's a...
It probably averages out.
Maybe high unemployment. I don't know. But New York and West Virginia at the bottom of the list. But I think that's cool that North Dakota tops, South Dakota number five, Minnesota, come on. Technically, I work in North Dakota, but I live in Minnesota. So
So that's why you're helping.
I work hard.
You're helping contribute to the North Dakota's top ranking.
There you go. Well, yeah, a lot of people cross over and work. For those of you that are into iPhones and you like the best and the latest, their iPhone 16 is supposed to be coming out on September 9th.
Yep. I just got mine last year, so I'm another year away from wanting to upgrade. So, but it's the yearly thing. First, probably, maybe it's the second Tuesday. Oh, it'd be the third. That's a Tuesday. Second Monday of September is usually when they have their event and they announce the new iPhones. And there's usually going to be a new iOS coming out. I think we're on 17. Should be 18 coming out, I believe.
I just can't imagine updating my phone unless it was dying, which I'm hard on phones, and I use mine as a computer. So it's like my phones usually die in 3 to 4 years. But it's like just because there's a new phone out, I don't have to have it. I wait until mine dies.
Here's the thing, though, that I've found, at least with Apple, because I've been an Apple product user for a while now, Bonnie. It seems as though if you upgrade to the new operating system, and your phone is only a year old, because I usually like to upgrade my phone every 2 years. If you upgrade to the new operating system, you kind of get the benefits of the new phone without buying the new phone, if you will. So, I mean, that's the majority of the updates is really the operating system. So,
well, remember when they got in trouble about maybe 5 years ago where they were slowing down phones, and then they ended up getting like a class action suit, and I think they had to pay people like $30 or something like that.
Well, there is some just that happens naturally, because sometimes with the new operating system and the older phones can't run it as effectively as a brand new phone with the new chips, the new processor, everything like that. So.
It's a racket is what it is. They're just looking to make money.
Well, and normally sometimes you only want to upgrade your phone like every other year anyway, because the changes from 1 year to the next are minimal. But there are those out there that every single year when the new phone comes out, they upgrade to get the new phone.
Yeah.
You can get the iPhone for life, but I think the package we have, it said something like we could always upgrade anytime we wanted to. The only problem was if you upgrade after a year, well, then you've got, because you set up basically a payment plan to play it off on like low interest or whatever you might say. And so you still have to pay off that first phone, and then you got 2 years more of this new phone. So all of a sudden you're contracted with them for 3 years to pay that sucker off.
They know how to make money off you folks that need everything new. Mm-hmm. All right, 6:30, you're listening to Bonnie and Friends.
I'm Ty Schoenert with your news update, which is sponsored by Consolidated Communications. Learn more at consolidated.com/cybersecurity. Fargo first responders on the scene of a structure fire along Main Avenue. Several emergency vehicles responded at roughly 5:05 a.m. in the 3200 block of Main Avenue. While it's unclear what business the blaze began, several establishments are nearby, including Napa Auto Parts and Overloaded Laundry Service. Authorities not sharing if there are any injuries or the extent of the damage to the structure. Now stay with us as more details do become available. Bond set at $1 million for a Fargo man charged with stabbing 14-year-old Jalen Walker of Moorhead to death. 18-year-old Isaac Arndt charged with second-degree murder in the death of his former girlfriend, making his first appearance in Clay County Court yesterday after being extradited from Fargo. Walker was found dead in a wooded area along a trail by the Red River August 20th. An autopsy finding she died of multiple sharp force injuries to her back, torso, and neck. Construction in Moorhead's downtown continues. Here's President and CEO of Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, Derek LaPointe, saying a public-private partnership was essential to recreating their downtown area.
We got the new Library Community Center project that broke ground on site as well. The renovation of City Hall, a civic plaza that will be there as well. So we understand the importance of not just being fully private marketplace, but the context of the situation that we're in and how we can kind of grow together and create a neighborhood back again in Moorhead, which was taken out in the 70s with urban renewal.
Other investments LaPointe addressed included the Dilworth-Moorhead city border and the I-94 corridor, saying more was likely to come in those areas. A Moorhead woman arrested following a two-vehicle crash on I-94 near 25th Street in Fargo yesterday morning. Troopers say 37-year-old Sheena Kelly, facing a drug-related DUI charge, rear-ending a pickup pulling a utility trailer, suffering serious but non-life-threatening injuries. No one in the pickup was hurt. And West Fargo police say someone is trying to call residents and scam them. The caller claims to be Sergeant Tyler Williams, telling residents they have an outstanding warrant and need to pay it off with gift cards. And if you receive such a call, authorities urge you to hang up and call the Red River Regional Dispatch Center instead.
First with the news when you need to know. WDAYRadioNow.com.
6:33, time now to check out your forecast. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here.
And we've got pleasant feeling weather out there. Did you have your windows open this morning?
No.
No?
No.
Really?
have the air on.
It's 50s. It's in the 50s outside.
By the time I open my window, somebody decides to light a fire pit, and then I'm allergic to smoke, and then I have to smell that. No, my air is still on, yes.
You're allergic to smoke?
Yes.
Yet you sit and smoke a pack of Marlboros in your office. I don't get it.
Don't tell everybody.
Man, all right. I won't say anything. Well, we're looking at temperatures currently in the upper 50s to near 60 across the area. There is a light line of showers that's about ready to press into the FM area. It's not much, but it will dampen your windshields. And other than that, no heavy rain in the forecast. Another batch of rain from about Jamestown up through Devil's Lake. An upper-level low is spinning through the area. That is going to give us some scattered showers through the morning hours mainly. And again, it's all light, nothing heavy. Highs today around 76, and we should see clearing towards evening. Then tonight, we're going to have mainly clear skies, mid-50s for your low with light north winds. And for Wednesday, a strong area of low pressure will ride through southern Canada. That's going to ramp our winds in out of the south, about 15 to 25, and highs in the low 80s. A chance for storms Wednesday night to Thursday morning. Some of those could be on the strong to severe side. We'll keep an eye on that for you. Windy on Thursday. Winds ramp up out of the west, gusting up to 40, and a few showers possible with highs in the upper 70s. Upper 70s for Friday and Saturday, and then a cool front swings through Saturday night, dropping our temperatures for Sunday and Labor Day into the lower 70s. So a pretty decent-looking forecast, a dry Labor Day weekend. We'll have a little breeze from time to time, but we'll have plenty of sunshine and temperatures pretty close to normal and then trailing off to below normal temperatures as we head into Labor Day. But all in all, not a bad-looking forecast. We'll keep an eye on those storms Wednesday night. Those could pack a punch.
Wait, when did you say the new LRC comes out? In October, is it?
Right around October 6th, we'll start the new cycle. But until that cycle length is set, which is usually before Thanksgiving, not always, but usually before Thanksgiving, then we'll be able to have a firm handle on what the winter looks like. So even though I'm sure we'll have winter weather before that first cycle
snow
is set.
And cold.
We'll have snow in November, I'm sure. But then we'll be able to have a firmer grip on what the winter looks like, what it'll pan out to be. I believe we're having our winter weather outlook that week of Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So that's the plan right now. We've got to iron things out with Gary, but I believe that's the plan. That's when we had it last year on the Jay Thomas Show.
Can you tell by the current LRC or whatever if it's going to be a nice, decent fall?
Oh, fall.
Like, is fall going to... we had a nice, long spring, which was kind
September
of unusual.
September is going to be mild. Not hot, but temperatures at or above normal, it looks like, on the whole, for the month of September. As we go into October, I believe our first frost was forecasted to be right around the end of that first week or into the second week of October.
Oh, that's
which
is that
pretty
early?
Close to
is,
normal.
Okay.
Yeah, usually it's early October.
Okay.
And then, yeah, we go downhill after that.
Great. Oh, well.
Super.
All right.
Thanks, Dean.
Hey, at least we're not having snow in September.
That's a fair point.
We hope. Right?
Yeah, we hope. I don't see it, no.
6:37, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. We have a Great Harvest Bread Company gift certificate to give away. Do you just want to do a number today, or do you want a trivia question?
Do you want to do it now?
Mm-hmm.
All right, hurry up.
He's like, okay, I got to get the phone lines. We'll just do caller number 5 today. If you want to win a gift certificate to Great Harvest Bread Company, be caller 5 right now, 701-293-9000. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Head to the American Ag Network. And Big Game James McCarty is in with your WDAY Radio Sports.
6:42, time for a check on the local sports scene with Big Game James McCarty. James?
Preseason games are over. Regular season games for the Vikings are 12 days away.
Let's
that means they placed somebody else on the injured reserve yesterday.
Mm, oh, of course.
Good. Offensive lineman Dalton Risner, who was signed late last season and played in 11 games, I believe, started 11 of his 15 games for the Vikings. He was re-signed again this offseason, and he's been battling a back injury that has left him out for the majority of training camp, unfortunately. Putting him on the injured reserve means he has to miss at least 4 games, so he'll be eligible to return at the earliest week 5 for the Vikings. And he's a big depth piece in that interior offensive line. So they're going to need him back as soon as possible. So hopefully he'll be up and rolling. As well, the Vikings, they do need to have their 53-man roster, although for the most part looks as though it is good to go. and needs to be finalized by 3 p.m. and into the league office for that. Well, basically down to 53, I suppose. Well, it doesn't need to be actually finalized, but they have to be down to 53 on the active roster.
They do, and I know like a veteran wide receiver, Sterling Shepard, signed with the Bucs this offseason. They waived him, but the hope is to put him on the practice squad because he's been injured.
Yep.
Has there been any big names as far as the Vikings go that have been cut?
No,
that you know of?
Mostly everybody that was expected. I think they had 13 or 14 guys that were let go yesterday.
Yep.
And a couple will get put on the practice squad, like McBride, a running back who was expected. Ibrahim, who was the Gophers' all-time leading rusher.
Yeah.
He's been, you know, so different guys like that you were kind of curious about, but they probably weren't going to stick unless it was a practice squad.
Well, exactly, and that's the thing. A lot of these players have to pass through waivers then, and then more than likely, if you're kind of signed and then released, like in the Mo Ibrahim's case, more than likely he's going to end up on that Vikings practice squad,
and
then they can elevate him for certain games, or they can outright sign him to the active roster if they need to. So get them familiar with the system type of situations a lot of times.
Exactly, and the Twins yesterday, well, Bailey Obert, his worst start of the year, so that was not positive.
Awesome!
Gave up 9 runs in 2 innings, and then there was about an hour rain delay, actually. If you go look up on social media or just Google it, the skyline after the rain.
It was like orange and red.
It was really kind of cool. It was kind of trippy, actually.
The
Twins would mount a comeback with that newfound sky. They just would come up short 10-6.
Didn't they also have a weather issue, I mean, at the state fair then that they had to, like,
there was, like, flooding.
Yeah, it was massive.
There was flooding in the streets. Like, I mean, it wasn't, of course, Bismarck bad.
Well,
but
did you hear what Dean said about Fergus Falls yesterday? They got, like, 3 inches of rain in, like, what was it, 30 minutes or an hour?
Yeah.
Oh, so the town was underwater yesterday, huh?
Probably, yeah.
Parts of it.
Yeah. I was gonna say that that town, there's a couple of areas where it's like a little bowl of sorts.
Yep, exactly.
Certain spots of Fergus, so hopefully they're all right, and hopefully nobody had to file any claims
for
basement issues of any sorts. Hey, the Twins, 6:40 tonight, Simeon Woods Richardson on the mound for Minnesota. Spencer Schwellenbach counters for Atlanta. Redhawks, they begin their final road trip of the regular season in Kansas City tonight against the Monarchs. First pitch at 6:35. Redhawks 51-42, having already clinched a playoff spot, while the Monarchs are 42-51. On the outside, looking into that final wild card spot, trying to have a good showing the last week of the regular season to try and clinch a spot, but we'll see if that'll happen.
The Monarchs have a chance?
They do, but I think they're 4 games back of the final spot.
They got seven games to go.
It's
kind of unlikely.
Not looking good for them. As for you and I, Primetime Sports tonight, 6:30, right here on WDAY Radio. We'll discuss Bison football head coach Tim Polasek's press conference. It is Bison Buffalo Week, so that'll be exciting there, and we'll talk about that a little bit. Sports This Hour brought to you by Pebble Lake Golf Club. As you play amongst mature trees, rolling hills, unique bunkers, a little water along the way, book your tee time online at playpebblelake.com. And the days are getting shorter, so you better get out there.
There's some high school mascots that, since James is in here, I don't know if you want to do it now or you want to wait till 7 o'clock or we have a little more time.
What do you got?
Well, there's a lot of high schools, their mascots are actually based on, like, the local industry.
Yeah.
So there's a gentleman that wrote a book, Dave Winder, the author of Where Are the Fighting Giraffes? That's a high school mascot.
Mm.
I know in South Dakota there's a school called the Newell High School. Their mascot is the Irrigators, like out in the field.
Okay. Well, and you got the Moorhead Spuds.
Yeah, exactly. So some of the more interesting nicknames, they got the Apple Knockers of Cobden High School. They got the Auctioneers from Mullins High School in South Carolina. This one, it seems like it should be in Seattle, the Baristas. Maybe it's Baristas, excuse me. They got the Beet Diggers. There's three high schools that are the Beet Diggers.
Oh.
The Cheesemakers.
I don't think we have any local Beet Diggers,
though
it would make sense for sugar beets.
We've
got
Cheesemakers, one in Oregon, one in Wisconsin.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
The Exporters in Freeport, Texas. The Granite Diggers are a Mellon High School in Wisconsin. North End High School in Pennsylvania, they are the Grape Pickers.
We were the Blue Streaks, which we don't even know what that is. It was just the Blue Lightning Bolt.
At least it's not the Brown Streaks.
That one, that's true too.
The Muckers, and then the last one was Shipbuilders. So a lot of unique high school mascots are always kind of fun to discover, I should say.
There you go. 6:48, it was on this date in entertainment history. This musician was killed when the helicopter he was flying in hit a ski slope in dense fog in Wisconsin. We'll tell you who it is in Music Flashback. That comes your way right around 6:56. Stand by. We're going to head back to the American Ag Network.
It was on this date in 1988. This singer had his sixth U.S. number one hit. Find out who that was coming up next in Music Flashback. True. 1964, Mary Poppins starring Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke premiered in Los Angeles. The Walt Disney production won 5 Academy Awards, including Best Original Song for Chim Chim Cheree.
The song is in the Library of Congress's National Film Registry for being culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. Walt Disney used his huge profits from the film to buy land in Central Florida and to pay for construction of Walt Disney World.
So it was all from that one movie? Really?
It was very popular.
Interesting. 1965... Bob Dylan's Highway 61 Revisited album was released. The album is considered one of Dylan's best works.
It's ranked number 4 on Rolling Stone's list of 500 greatest albums of all time. Dylan has 11 albums that make that list more than any other artist.
Interesting. This was kind of an underrated song on this album with George's.
Yeah, I had to. It's like, do I even remember this song? And then when it gets to this part, it's like, of course I do.
1988, Monkey gave George Michael his sixth U.S. number one hit, a record beaten only by the one and only gloved one, Michael Jackson.
Wow. It was the fourth song off his Faith album to hit number one overall. Michael had 8 number one hits. 16 of his songs made the Billboard Hot 100 charts.
I guess I didn't even really think. I remember having this album. It was on a cassette. But I didn't really remember that one hitting number one. But then again, I didn't listen to the countdowns all the time. 1990. Stevie Ray Vaughan was killed when the helicopter he was flying in hit a ski slope in the dense fog of Wisconsin. Vaughan had played a show at Alpine Valley Music Theater in East Troy, Wisconsin, along with Robert Cray and Eric Clapton. Vaughan was told by a member of Clapton's crew that they had an extra seat on the chopper, so he took it.
3 members of Clapton's entourage were also killed in the crash, along with the pilot. Eerily, Vaughn told his band and crew members the day before he had a nightmare in which he was at his own funeral and saw thousands of mourners. He said he felt terrified, yet almost peaceful. How strange is that?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be too keen on anything if I had a dream like that. That seemed more like a nightmare, honestly. 1991, Pearl Jam released their debut album, 10. It was the group's most commercially successful album. Alive, Even Flow, and Jeremy were all hits on the album.
Jeremy was in heavy rotation on MTV. It won 4 MTV awards in 1993, including Video of the Year and Best Group Video.
Having a birthday today, Eric Lifeson of Rush is 71. 7 of their songs made the Billboard Hot 100 charts. Tom Sawyer, which remains a classic rock staple, hit number 44 in 1981.
If you're having a birthday today, happy birthday to you, too. We've got some Bison swag, Bison apparel we're going to be giving away here all day long on WDAY Radio, including on Bonnie and Friends today. It's brought to you by PetroServe USA. Be listening for an opportunity to win some of that. We are WDAY Fargo. It is 7 o'clock.
I'm Ty Schoenert with your news update, which is brought to you by Summit Carbon Solutions. Visit summitcarbonsolutions.com to learn how this project is creating more economic opportunities for ethanol producers and strengthening the market for corn growers in North Dakota. Fargo first responders currently on the scene of a structure fire along Main Avenue. Several emergency vehicles responding at roughly 5:05 a.m. in the 3200 block. While it's unclear what business the blaze began in, several establishments are nearby, including Napa Auto Parts and Overloaded Laundry Service. Authorities not sharing if there's any injuries or the extent of the damage to the structure. Stay with us as more details become available. Bond set at $1 million for a Fargo man charged with stabbing 14-year-old Jalen Walker of Moorhead to death. 18-year-old Isaac Arndt charged with second-degree murder on the death of his former girlfriend, making a first appearance in Clay County Court yesterday after being extradited from Fargo. Walker found dead in a wooded area along the trail by the Red River August 20th. An autopsy found she died of multiple sharp force injuries to her back, torso, and neck. Construction in Moorhead's downtown continues. Here's President and CEO of Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, Derek LaPointe, saying a public-private partnership was essential to recreating their downtown area.
We got the new Library Community Center project that broke ground on site as well. the renovation of City Hall, a Civic Plaza that will be there as well. So we understand the importance of not this just being fully private marketplace, but the context of the situation that we're in and how we can kind of grow together and create a neighborhood back again in Moorhead, which was taken out in the 70s with urban renewal.
Other investments LaPointe addressed included the Dilworth-Moorhead City border and the I-94 corridor, saying more was likely to come in those areas. A Moorhead woman is arrested following a two-vehicle crash on I-94 near 25th Street in Fargo yesterday morning. Troopers say 37-year-old Sheena Kelly facing a drug-related DUI charge, rear-ending a pickup pulling utility trailer. She suffered serious but non-life-threatening injuries. No one in the pickup was hurt.
First with the news when you need to know. WDAYRadioNow.com.
7:02, time for a check on the local weather with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
And we're looking at a few light showers on radar right now, stretching from about Jamestown up through Devil's Lake, and a few scattered isolated showers trying to enter the valley and into Lakes Country. But these are very light, but just enough to where you might have to turn on your windshield wipers. But again, not expecting anything. It'd be under a tenth of an inch. And then we'll actually see clearing skies as we head towards evening, with highs today right around 76 with the north wind at 5 to 15. Clear pleasant tonight. Light winds out of the north, mid-50s. And Wednesday winds ramp up out of the south, 15 to 25 and gusty, and highs in the low 80s. That's hot for Bonnie. Yeah,
it is.
And then Wednesday night, a cold front hits the area. That is likely going to trigger off some storms. Some of those could be on the strong to severe side. And then Thursday, we'll have windy conditions behind that cold front, with west winds gusting up to 40, highs in the upper 70s, and a few scattered showers. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday look good for the holiday weekend. Friday, Saturday, upper 70s. Sunday, Monday, lower 70s. So a pretty decent holiday weekend, I think. Some would say it's a little cool Sunday and Monday, but all in all, it looks pretty darn nice, and no rain in the forecast.
Don't you guys want to pull those hoodies out of storage?
Not yet.
I do.
September. Next week.
Sweatshirt.
All right. Next week. The weather's been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation, but it is also the 7 o'clock hour, so that means it's time for the Tailgaters Tuesday 2-degree guarantee. Dean, yesterday you said the high temp for the day was going to be 82, and the actual temperature was...
So, sorry, Long Island iced tea drinkers, you're not going to get a discount.
Right again.
But the beer drinkers will.
Yeah.
Actual high was 81 yesterday.
All right. That's 7 straight weeks that Dean has gotten the 2-degree correct. That means you can celebrate tonight at Tailgaters, $2 tap, domestic pint on your first, and then after that, they're just $4 a piece. So get to Tailgaters tonight and celebrate Dean's success, because once again, he is on a streak, folks, of predicting your high temperatures. First domestic pint, only $2, $4 each one after that. And as always, you can enjoy live music outside on the Tailgaters Shandy Patio each Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. Tailgaters at the corner of Main and University in downtown Fargo.
We're going to get a winner for some Bison apparel that we're giving away. Be listening for an opportunity here on Bonnie and Friends this morning and all week long, as well as the other shows right here on WDAY Radio. We've got t-shirts, sweatshirts, sweaters, caps that we will be giving away. And all you have to do is listen and be the right number caller, and we will hook you up. It is 7:05. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty is in with your WDAY Radio Sports.
7:09, time for a check on the local sports scene with Big Game James McCarty. James.
Hey, tonight, primetime sports at 6:30 with Jason and I right here on WDAY Radio. It is Bison Colorado week, so we got to, of course, break that down, talk a little bit. Coach Polasek, his press conference yesterday, and the excitement surrounding that. On the Vikings side of the gridiron, they placed offensive lineman Dalton Reisner on the injured reserve list. He was placed on that list due to a back injury that limited his availability in practice and team workouts. Throughout the majority of training camp, he will have to miss at least 4 games on that list, and he'll be eligible to return at the earliest week 5 of the regular season. The Vikings continue to whittle down their active 53-man roster, as you have to be down to 53 guys on that active roster by 3 o'clock this afternoon. The Vikings approach 12 days away from that season opener in New York against the Giants. Redhawks were off yesterday. They're going to hit the road for their final 7-game road trip of the regular season. That begins tonight at 6:35. Redhawks are 51-42. They've clinched a spot in the postseason, while the Monarchs are 42-51 here as we whittle down the regular season. And the Minnesota Twins, man, it was just a tough start for them. Bailey Ober gave up 9 runs in 2 innings. They would end up mounting a comeback, but they would fall 10-6 in the end to the Braves. 6 different Twins driving in runs in that game. The bullpen only gave up 1 run in 7 innings of work. Twins and Braves, they'll battle again tonight at 6:40. Simeon Woods Richardson, one of the rookie pitchers for the Twins, he will get the nod while Spencer Schwellenbach counters for Atlanta.
When you attended the press conference yesterday for head coach Tim Polasek, was there anything of note, anything that stood out in your mind other than maybe what we've heard the last couple of days with Hunter Brosio being out? I believe I read something somewhere yesterday that Cole Wisniewski will not be available for this game on Thursday.
Yeah, Cole Wisniewski, he has had surgery, and so now he'll be out for an extended period of time. It sounds as though the goal for the team is to check in on where he's at physically in his rehab process in 8 to 10 weeks from now.
Oh, wow.
And then they'll see what the future of his football career could be, because, of course, at least per scouting reports, things of those sorts, an NFL hopeful and a guy that was expected to be drafted, you know, in April of 25. So we'll see there. And Barika Penu, evidently, he'll be evaluated on Wednesday. So tomorrow, on the possibility of playing
game?
Thursday.
Oh, really?
I'm still very much up in the air about that. Until I see him in shoulder pads, I'm not going to buy that personally. Yeah. But that is something that Coach did say outright. And at that same point, Barika was third on that depth chart yesterday of the running backs. Peter Haugo has gotten in reps, and he's been getting better day by day, Coach has said. If it comes down to it, there's a possibility out of necessity that he could get a couple of carries or a couple of snaps at least. But it sounds as though the goal is to let him keep developing and ideally to not have a true freshman out there for the FBS game week one.
Well, and the thing with Barika, too, is that if he doesn't play on Thursday, he gets at least another 10 days, and I believe, until their next game. So that's kind of
exactly.
There's no reason to rush him back. And the interesting thing when we talk about Fargo North's Peter Haugo as a running back for NDSU, to me, just kind of now, it kind of reminds me of Hunter Lepke. And so I don't know, maybe just based out of necessity, he'll get that shot at running back, and maybe that'll be a better fit for him than not saying he couldn't play linebacker. I mean, he could very well play both. He played both in high school. So
also, Truman Wormeyer of Fargo Davies, he was listed as the top fullback on the depth chart yesterday.
Oh, all right.
So I'm going to talk with him this afternoon.
Okay, awesome.
So that'll be great.
Awesome.
Might we be hearing a little bit of that on Primetime Sports tonight then?
You will. If not tonight, tomorrow night for sure.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Sounds good. Lori was the winner of our Great Harvest Bread Company gift certificate. Be listening tomorrow again, as we do it every Monday through Friday right here on Bonnie and Friends. Might make your life difficult. We might make you answer a trivia question tomorrow, but they're not very hard, are they?
Well, some of them were harder than others. It took the second caller to get it right. So,
but we do have Bison swag to give away. So if you want to win that, be listening here on Bonnie and Friends, but not only on our show, all throughout the day. The Coffee Club, the Jay Thomas Show, they're going to have Weather and Ag Radio. They're going to have stuff to give away, too. So all week long here, Bison apparel giveaways. If you are the right number caller, you will win, and brought to you by PetroServe USA, which is also sponsoring our fan cam reports from.
We call it the fan cam, but I mean, it's going to be our live updates from our trip to Colorado. Mm-hmm. It's a quick trip for James and I based on not getting out until tomorrow, and then obviously coming back early Friday because we're going to get back in time to do high school football, Barnesville at DGF over in Glendon.
Ooh,
on Friday
that'll
night.
Be a good game.
Yeah, two schools, very good football programs, different classes in Minnesota State high school sports. So it's always entertaining. Great game last year that James and I got to call down in Barnesville, so look forward to that matchup again. So quick trip, but keep up to date with our webpage. We're going to have it on the webpage here. We'll probably post those, obviously, to Facebook as well. I'll try and throw up some pictures and stuff, even for you, Bonnie, on our Bonnie and Friends page.
There you go. Awesome. Well, you're part of the show. You should do some work once in a while. So
I'm just
job.
Here until they find somebody better.
Oh, that's not true. Did you guys see the video yesterday of the Cirque du Soleil performer? She was one of the aerial, what do they call her? It works on the hoops, you know?
The aerial gymnast.
Gymnast or whatever.
Yeah, I forget what they're called.
She lost her grip and fell. They don't say how far of a fall, but I think they're probably at least 25, 30 feet up in the air. They're high up there. I've gone to their shows before.
Where have you seen them?
They've been here in the Fargo Dome.
Have they really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. So they have like a traveling show, but then don't they have like a main show like down in Vegas?
In Vegas, correct. Yep. It was probably, and they've been here a couple different times, but it was probably maybe a dozen years back or so when I went and saw it. Great show. I was glad I went to it. But yeah, this aerial acrobat, she fell off her hoop, lost her grip, fell to the ground. Some young man, a boy, was with his dad. He caught it on video. And so, of course, shared it with the media. We're seeing pictures. It sounds like she's going to be okay. But, I mean, how scary is...
I certainly hope so, yeah.
Well, at first, the crowd is, you know, you're watching and you're wondering. And then her, you know, other performers that were along with her, they were gasping over the fall and stuff. But
I mean, you know, a lot of times, I mean, if you think about it, just even like you go to the circus and you see some trapeze artists, everybody's kind of gasping.
A lot of times they have
and
nets
and
below them,
they
though,
do, but
not with this act.
No, I think with Cirque du Soleil, that they're probably going to be one of those acts that they kind of really lean into the fact they don't have a safety
kind
net.
Kind of an over-the-top.
Yeah, it's more dramatic when you don't have that. But if you're going to be on that hoop like you see in that picture, Bonnie, and you lose your grip, I mean...
Obviously lost concentration or something, but they call her an aerial hoop artist, but...
Oh, it makes sense because she's in the air and there's a hoop.
True. I mean, that could have ended totally differently, but it sounds like she's going to be fine. She was taken to the hospital.
And
yeah, no doubt about it. Oh, I guess I don't know how many times La Bamba has been remade.
The song or the movie?
The movie. Story of a rock and roll legend, Ritchie Valens, heading back to the big screen. They are remaking the 1987 film La Bamba.
What
was his name?
Yeah.
Rich? No.
Is it a Richie?
No, I can't remember.
You know the guy.
Yeah.
So, that's the only La Bamba movie, right?
Was that the only one that was ever out? I don't know.
I think so. I'm trying to think because I don't know that there's ever been a remake of La Bamba. But then again, you know, Hollywood likes to run out of ideas and they just redo something that was done very well.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
That's his name, yeah.
I had to Google it, though. I couldn't. Yeah, maybe that was the first time it was out, you know, other than you would see documentary footage of it.
I mean, that's a whole different style of movie then, you know.
It'll be good, I'm sure. I mean, that was that La Bamba movie with Lou Diamond Phillips was very good. So, yeah, remake. I don't know when it'll be coming out, probably within 2 years or something like that. I'm not sure how long it takes them. But, I mean, that's an important story to keep alive, too, because Ritchie Valens died in the plane crash. They were down in Clear Lake, Iowa. They were heading to the Moorhead Armory to perform. Plane went down, killing him, Buddy Holly, and the Big Bopper. And then Bob Vallien, Bobby V., was the young man from Fargo who filled in.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
So
his career took off from there, too.
If you search La Bamba on IMDb.
Yeah.
Technically, there was a La Bamba 2.
There was? Was it a dud? Like after 87 you're talking?
Yeah. It was made in 2013, but get this. It is 2059, 100 years after the death of Ritchie Valens, and this is a camp sci-fi horror parody sequel to the 87 film. So I don't know who would have taken the time to make such a ridiculous
movie. The same people that did that Psycho Killer Winnie the Pooh movie about 3 years.
You know what?
That's
not the only one. They've done a Winnie the Pooh one. There's other like Disney ones or whatever. Since they've lost like the copyright or something on it, so they could make stuff in a short period of time.
Why would you do that with such a cute, adorable movie?
It's just so dumb.
Also in the movie world, Christopher Reeve documentary is going to be coming out. The Christopher Reeve stories. It's called Superman, the Christopher Reeve story. It'll be a documentary, his rise to fame, and then, you know, following his near-fatal horse riding accident that left him paralyzed. So that will be coming out select theaters September 21st and 25th to mark what would have been his 72nd birthday. And then you remember his wife tragically died, too, of lung cancer at a young age. Like, I think she was in her late 40s, was a non-smoker, Dana. She died, too, tragically.
Did she die before Christopher?
No, it was after him.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, still, they...
She was only in her 40s?
Yeah.
How old was Christopher Reeve when he passed away, then?
He was probably in his 40s, too.
Oh, because, I mean, he lived several years as a...
Oh, yeah. That was
quadriplegic.
Yeah. No, he was probably older than that.
But I would think he was probably a good 10 years older than her or something.
I don't know.
But, yeah, that... It does seem like it's been a while since we lost Chris.
He was 52 when he died in 2004.
Yeah. Probably health complications.
I think they died within a short period of time. Yeah. She died in 2006.
And he died in when?
2004.
Oh, yeah. So a couple years apart.
Yeah. And she was 44. And he was 52. So, yeah, and they had two children.
He was 40. She was 44 when she passed away, so she was like 10 years older. Is that what you're saying?
He was.
He was 52 when he passed away, but he passed away 2 years before her.
Okay.
And she was 44 when she passed away, which means he was 42 when he passed away, sure. Which means they were 10 years apart.
Okay. It is 720, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Are your beans diseased? WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel has all the details on that straight ahead.
7:23, time to go check out the farm with Ag Director Miss Bridget Riedel. How are you doing this morning, Bridget?
Fantastic. How's everybody there?
Oh, you know, well, we've got some cloud and some cooler weather coming in, so we can't complain.
No.
Well, good, because I'm about to step out into what is the epitome of corn sweat today.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, Dean was talking about that, and that's going to be probably a bit more
awful.
Sticky.
Awful
and
is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, yeah, they just were shy of a record down in southeastern Minnesota, one of the towns down there, Preston, I think it was, 86% dew point down there yesterday.
Well, I can tell you right now, it's not going to be my most fashionable hair day, but I'm going to work on improving that as I get back closer to home. How's that
just,
sound?
You've got to either wear a hat or you got to wear a ponytail. One of the two.
That's right. That's right. Well, other things to be on the lookout for besides a formal headgear at these types of events, soybean cyst nematode in the state of North Dakota is on the rise. We have seen this little tiny soil-borne parasite sap as much as 30% of a plant's yield with really no visible symptoms. So as we approach soybean harvest coming up this fall, a reminder from North Dakota Soybean Council that there are free testing kits available for farmers. It can be tested through a soil sample that's sent to the pathology lab at North Dakota State University. You're going to be looking for an egg count in the soil sample. And really, it's the only way to know if you have a soybean cyst nematode in your field. Your field may show a little stunting and some slight yellowing, but really your yield loss will take place before you realize it. And you only start to see symptoms if you have very, very high pressure and the plants just can't take it anymore. So if you're using soybean cyst nematode resistant variety seed, that's important. If you're unclear what's going on in your field and you want to check for it, again, it's time to start thinking about soil testing for soybean cyst nematodes.
I don't like frogs. I don't like frogs or toads or any of them.
Toads, nodes, all of the above.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
Hey, what's going on with that Canadian railroad strike?
Okay. So right now, everything up there seems to be moving forward. They did have some arbitration step in, but an appeal looks to be filed. How does that affect us? Because people think, that's in Canada, it's no big deal. But the reality is, Canada is the world's top exporter of canola, and North Dakota is sitting on its largest canola crop that we've had, well, really in history. And so we know that we're going to need that rail line to continue to move canola to our export markets. Also, Canada is number three in wheat exportation, and also they move around a lot of potash fertilizer, which we need here in the U.S. So if there was a stoppage, that would halt shipments of U.S. spring wheat from the Dakotas and Minnesota, which we're in the midst of in spring wheat harvest right now. So we do need to be able to move it around. Canola harvest happening in some of the areas in Canada, like Alberta and so forth, they've got to be moving that crop to their export markets. And on average, 69,000 tons of fertilizer per day, which is equivalent to 4 to 5 trains, move into the U.S. from Canada. Even though we're not spreading fertilizer right now, particularly in our neighborhood, we need to be restocking and prepared for the fall as well as next spring. So honestly, if we see a interruption in rail performance with the CP, that's going to make it quite a difficult situation for a number of harvest things that's going on right now. So we don't want to have to deal with that, guys.
Bridget, is canola something that can sit in storage like corn, or does it go rancid? Mm-hmm. Or
it can, but like any crop, you've got to have good storage conditions. You can't just put it in the bin if it's a high moisture or if it's under not under air to keep some air moving through it and it builds up that heat. You've got to still keep an eye on it to prevent a loss of quality. And if you're able to do that, that's going to make a big difference for you. So be prepared to keep your, you know, keep your storage quality in excellent shape so you don't have more loss in your crop than you anticipated.
All right. What else is going on?
Okay, so if you're thinking about your pasture situation, well, you might want to realize that mid-August or September is a good time to seed new stands of alfalfa, or if you want to do a little pasture renovation. You know, if you had some alfalfa winter injury on a good stand, or if you're concerned and you want to start replanting some of it, or maybe you're concerned about what's going to look like after this upcoming winter, remember to avoid your harvest from 45 days before your average killing frost. Right now we're anticipating we could have frost the third week of September, so use that as a rule of thumb. Also, I'm still on team no frost till November 1st, as I tell Dean and Justin essentially every day. I'm not sure if I'm there yet. But alfalfa can be harvested after killing frost, but you would have to leave at least 6 inches of stubble in order to have some snow cover caught and insulate the stubble fields. But if you're doing some pasture renovation, you can suppress grasses in the spring and then seed with a no-till drill, add some legumes into it, et cetera, to try to improve your stand. So just a few things to keep in mind as you're preparing for fall. It's not just about your cropland, but thinking ahead for your pastures for next year, too, getting them ready.
You bet. What's coming up on Weather and Ag Radio from 1 to 2 today?
So today is our Farm Finance Insider segment with Greg Steeman. He's with Starian Bank. Now, we have several things to talk about with Greg, such as what we see going on with the Acres Act. Also, we want to talk about further details that he may have right now with some challenges that our ag lenders as well as our farmers are facing in making sure that they don't have concerns getting credit, et cetera. But there's a lot going on in the banking world as we prepare to go towards this harvest as well.
Things are never easy.
We're fairly busy. No, and throughout this week, you'll hear reports from me talking about what's happening down here at the Farm Progress Show. I'll keep you up to speed on that as much as possible, but they're expecting somewhere in the neighborhood of 40,000 to 50,000 people across the 600-acre site today, so it's going to be a busy place. Lots going on.
You bet. All right, now if our listeners have any questions for you, Bridget?
Follow along. You'll find me on X at BM Riedel. Plus, you can always send me messages, ag@flagfamily.com.
All right. We're looking forward to hearing your reports. Thank you, Bridget.
All right. You guys have a great day. Thank you.
You too. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. We do have Bison apparel that we will be giving away all week long right here on WDAY Radio on the various day parts. So be listening for an opportunity to win that. And coming up yet this morning, we're going to hook one of you up with, whatever we have, T-shirts, sweatshirts, sweatpants, caps, all sorts of stuff. Sweatshirts.
It's all got NDSU on it, though.
Of course it does. Go Bison. Let's go. And our sponsor is PetroServe USA. They're also sponsoring our fan cam. It is 7:30. You're listening to Bonnie and Friends on WDAY Radio.
I'm Ty Schoenert with your news update. Bonds set at $1 million for a Fargo man charged with stabbing 14-year-old Jalen Walker of Moorhead to death. 18-year-old Isaac Arndt charged with second-degree murder in the death of his former girlfriend, making a first appearance in Clay County Court yesterday after being extradited from Fargo. Walker found dead in the wooded area along the trail by the Red River August 20th. An autopsy finding she died of multiple sharp force injuries to her back, torso, and neck. Construction in Moorhead's downtown continues. Here's President and CEO of Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, Derek LaPointe, saying a public-private partnership was essential to recreating their downtown area.
We got the new Library Community Center project that broke ground on site as well, the renovation of City Hall, a civic plaza that will be there as well. So we understand the importance of not this just being fully private marketplace, but the context of the situation that we're in and how we can kind of grow together and create a neighborhood back again in Moorhead, which was taken out in the 70s with urban renewal.
Other investments LaPointe addressed, including the Dilworth-Moorhead city border and the I-94 corridor, saying more was likely to come out of those areas. West Fargo police say someone's been trying to call residents to scam them. That caller claiming to be Sergeant Tyler Williams, telling residents they have an outstanding warrant and they need to pay it off with gift cards. If you receive such a call, authorities urge you to hang up and call Red River Regional Dispatch. A Moorhead woman arrested following a two-vehicle crash on I-94 near 25th Street in Fargo yesterday morning. Troopers say 37-year-old Sheena Kelly facing a drug-related DUI charge, rear-ending a pickup pulling a utility trailer, according to authorities. She suffered serious but non-life-threatening injuries. No one in the pickup was hurt. A man scheduled to go to trial for murder accused of trying to kill a fellow inmate at the Ward County Jail in Minot. Investigators say Kamuri Kennedy attacked the victim in the jail's day room last Thursday, Kennedy leaving him with wounds on his arms and head. He now faces five new charges, including attempted murder, going on trial next month for the 2021 murder of 33-year-old Dominique Kelly. A severe storm rolling through the Twin Cities metro last night, causing significant power outages. Over 90,000 Xcel Energy customers lost power, and crews are still working on those restorations. State Fair had to close attractions and rides temporarily, and even cancel events, including the Happy Together Tour. Also, Fargo first responders were on the scene of a structure fire along Main Avenue. Several emergency vehicles responded roughly 5:05 this morning in the 3200 block. While it's unclear what business the blaze began in, several establishments are nearby, including Napa Auto Parts and Overloaded Laundry Service. Authorities not sharing if there's any injuries or the extent of the damage to the structure. Make sure to stay with us as more details do become available.
First with the news when you need to know. WDAYRadioNow.com.
Time for a check on the weather with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Dino?
And we're looking at a lot of clouds around this morning. There's a few light showers on radar, a little bit up towards Devil's Lake Basin. And a little bit in the lakes country, a few showers up and down the valley, but they're very, very light, and we're not expecting much today at all. Just enough probably to, you know, dot up your windshield where you got to use the windshield wipers this morning. But then we'll see clearing skies as we head towards evening, with highs today about 76, with a north wind at 5 to 15. Clear skies tonight, mid-50s, light winds, and the winds ramp up out of the south tomorrow. 15 to 25, highs in the low 80s. And then a cold front hits tomorrow night, with the chance for storms. Some of those could be on the strong to severe side. And then windy on Thursday behind that cold front. Maybe a few scattered showers with highs in the mid to upper 70s. We'll stay in the upper 70s Friday, Saturday. Cold front hits Saturday night. That'll drop temperatures into the low 70s on Sunday, and then mid 70s for Labor Day. But looks like a pretty dry weekend. Dry Labor Day weekend. And a little breezy from time to time, but temperatures very pleasant in the 70s.
Sounds good, Dino. All right, the weather's brought to you by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated with three convenient Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy. Time is now 7:35. We've got a quick check your national news. When we return, Big Game James McCarty with your WDAY Radio Sports Update, and then Dean will return for your three-degree guarantee. 7:38, time for a check on the local sports scene with WDAY Radio Sports Director Big Game James McCarty.
Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks off yesterday. They begin their final seven-game road trip of the regular season in Kansas City against the Monarchs this evening. First pitch at 6:35. Redhawks have clinched a playoff spot. They enter with a record of 51-42. The Monarchs are 42-51 on the outside of the playoff picture looking in. Minnesota Twins, they had an opportunity to get a big win against Atlanta yesterday, but Bailey Ober had his worst outing of the season, giving up nine runs over two innings of work before a close to hour rain delay. They came back in, and the Twins would have six players drive in a single run apiece, but they would end up falling short 10-6 just because of that tough start that they had. Tonight, first pitch is at 6:40 with Simeon Woods Richardson on the mound for Minnesota. Spencer Schwellenbach will counter for Atlanta. And the Vikings have placed offensive lineman Dalton Reisner on the injured reserve list as he has been put on there due to a back injury that has limited his availability in practice throughout the majority of training camp. He will have to miss at least the first four games of the regular season, with his eligibility to return at the earliest week five of the regular season. Additionally, the Vikings have to be down to 53 men on their active roster by 3 o'clock this afternoon as their season opener against the Giants approaches on September 8th. And primetime sports tonight at 6:30 with Jason right here on WDAY Radio. We'll take another look at the Bison game at the University of Colorado this Thursday and hear from a little bit of Coach Tim Polasek, his presser, and the excitement surrounding what is going on at NDSU. Sports This Hour brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
We've got some Bison apparel to give away, and we are looking. He didn't know I was doing this. We're looking for caller number 7 right now.
That's why you need to rearrange the commercial break.
701-293-9000. Caller number 7, we will hook you up with some Bison apparel brought to you by PetroServe USA. 701-293-9000. It is 741. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has your 3-degree guarantee straight ahead.
743. Congratulations to Kristen for winning our Bison swag giveaway.
That's some nice stuff, too.
I know. If you didn't get a chance to win, stay listening all day right here on WDAY Radio, Coffee Club, Weather and Ag, J. Thomas Show, all giving you a chance to win some Bison swag as you get prepared for the new season of Bison
you
football.
You didn't pick through there and find stuff for yourself.
He was trying, I'm sure.
I'm going to plead the fifth on that.
Neither confirm nor deny. Mm-hmm. But right now it is time for your 3-degree guarantee brought to you by the Window and Door Store. And let's see, we are at 28 straight days, trying to make it 29. Did you get yesterday correct? And I know the answer to this, but
because
I'll let you
we already did. 82 forecasted, we hit 81. So that is right on target there.
29 straight work days. We don't do the weekends because we ain't here.
Right.
So today.
Can we go for 30?
Today would be number 30 if you get it correct.
All right.
How confident are you, first off?
Pretty confident. I'd say 7 out of 10.
Okay.
It's going to depend on when we clear out. I think we'll hit 70. No, we're going to hit 76, you know. So we're going to 76 for 76. Today's 3-degree guarantee. A few light showers around the area this morning, very light, nothing to worry about. And then we'll see clearing skies as we head towards evening with a north wind about 5 to 15. So again, today's 3-degree guarantee, 76.
All right. That is your 3-degree guarantee brought to you by the Window and Door Store. Dean Wysocki going for number 30 in a row.
There you go. Dr. Ala from Sirisette is going to be joining us coming up at 8:10 this morning. We will be talking about stress and how you can manage it. It gets to be a really stressful time of year for, you know, a lot of parents and students. You're getting back into the school routine.
People mess with your show log.
There was a reason for that. Trying to save you.
All I see is something moving. I'm like, what's going on?
I took care of things for you. You're all fine over there.
Thank you.
But yes, a lot of people deal with stress, and a lot of you don't know how to manage it. So we'll get some pointers from Dr. Ala of Sirisette coming up at 8:10 this morning. This story ended good for a little kitty in Ohio. Got into a car wash.
Uh-oh.
And they think maybe the cat was, you know, in a vehicle somewhere tucked away in a vehicle.
I told you the story before. We had this older pickup. It had a compartment. I remember two of our cat's kittens would climb up into this one little spot.
It was warm, right?
Well, one little spot. I mean, it wasn't right on the engine block or anything. It was off in this corner. And I know that our two kittens ended up at the grain elevator where Dad worked because they were hanging out in the truck. And then the truck stops there a mile away, and they get out and they walk around. They're like, where the heck are we at?
That's good, as long as they don't turn into mincemeat in the vehicle compartments.
With the old fans that they used to have not covered up. Yeah. So this kitten got out of a vehicle, I would assume.
That's what they think. The vehicle went into a car wash in Ohio.
Didn't get stuck in a certain part where there's a bunch of water blasting or anything.
Yeah, it did. It got into the wash, and the employees there, because usually they have an employee there kind of watching, making sure things are good, heard the kitten meowing, so they followed it until they found him. He was terrified, soaking wet and shaking.
Aww.
One of the workers brought him inside the main office. They had some towels. They were toweling him off. It's an orange and white little tabby cat, very young, and it sounds like he or she is doing just fine, and they've named him Turbo Rinse.
At least they didn't name him Hot Wax.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, and if he would have got hit by the Hot Wax, that wouldn't have been good. Poor little cutie cat.
Yeah, especially the baby of almost any animal. It's going to be just so scared and confused as to what's going on. Mm-hmm. So
he was taken to the Regional Humane Society there in Fayetteville, Ohio, and somebody's going to adopt him.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know what, folks? You know, make sure you go. If you want a pet, make sure you go to your local animal shelter. There's a lot of great pets up for adoption. Mm-hmm.
Cat's Cradle in Fargo. Absolutely love them.
Crazy Cat Ladies.
Is there a Crazy Cat Lady shelter local? Is there? Okay.
I think that was what it was called. Mm. Because we adopted one from there, one from one of them, Leo, was probably actually from one of the humane societies that had their cats and kittens at PetSmart.
Because we got him at PetSmart. We got Jasper
at PetSmart.
Some of
them work with the shelters. Natural Pet Center on 13th Avenue in Fargo, they work with Cat's Cradle, I know.
Yeah, there's a lot of times I think our three cats that we've adopted since we moved to the Fargo-Moorhead area have been through three different organizations, but each time we found them when they've either had cats and kittens within the display there at PetSmart, or they've had special times when they've come in and brought animals with to try and get adopted. So.
And there is Crazy Cat Lady. Yeah. I've not heard of them. We've gotten both of them. Zoe, who we have currently, she just turned a year. Like, where did year go already, young lady?
Yeah.
And she's spunky and she's fun. But also my daughter has a cat that, when she was still living at home, adopted Rizzo. And I think Rizzo's like 10. She came from Cat's Cradle, too.
Okay, yeah.
She was part of the Grease flock. So it was like Danny and Sandy and... We ended up with Rizzo.
Okay.
But that's Bailey's cat.
Well,
but.
I mean, that's a good enough name where you're not going to change that name.
Logan was looking. It's a bad habit. Like, if you follow the different shelters, it's a really bad habit, like on your Facebook feed, and then you see it, and it's like, I do that
all the time. Like, I also follow the two Humane Society, like the animal shelter up here in Fargo. We got Luna at the one Humane Society of Otter Tail County down in Fergus. For love of dogs, I remember trying to get an appointment to be able to see one of their dogs, but by the time I got my house approved to adopt a pet, that one was already adopted. So there's always animals available at a lot of different shelters and different organizations.
Yeah.
So it's tough because when you only have so much room in your house and you're only kind of set up for a couple of animals, you see all these other animals up for adoption. You really want to help these animals out and find them a home because, you know, there's nothing like a love of a pet.
And as Bob Barker would say, make sure you spay and neuter your pets.
Exactly. Have your pets spayed or neutered. Also have them microchipped.
Yeah. Well, and when you adopt from the reputable shelters here, they make you do that.
Yeah.
You got to, if they're not already spayed or neutered, you have to promise to do that.
If they're a puppy or kitten, exactly.
And microchipping as well, which is great.
Yeah. I mean, granted, we got Luna when she was four, so that's a different story. But like our boy Leo, he was already fixed when we got him. Sometimes they're already, if they're old enough, they'll already have the surgery done for you. That's why the costs are a little bit higher.
Yep.
But if not, sometimes the costs are less expensive, but you have to go get them fixed because you don't need extra animals out wandering the streets.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So. Yeah. Lots of pets out there to be loved, but it's a good thing that little kitty was found inside the car wash. You know, sometimes you like are down and out and all of a sudden you get car trouble, whatever issues, and just what you need, another bill. There was a guy in North Carolina, car had issues, so we had to take it into the repair shop. He had spare time on his hands, of course, as you're sitting there waiting usually, so he decided to buy a lottery ticket.
Oh, and he won?
Yeah.
Like, well, that's a good story,
like almost $380,000. So no need to fret about that $1,000 car repair bill.
I would say,
or
you know, you need to think about the vehicle. You're buying a new one.
Or a
couple.
You're
getting brand new, baby.
Well, I'm never lucky when it comes to lottery tickets, ever.
How often do you buy them?
I don't really buy too much of the lottery tickets, but I like for raffle tickets and stuff, I buy them all the time.
That's not the same.
Yes, they are. Your chances are winning for different raffles.
But, but if you want to, you know, you have a meat raffle, example, that's different than winning $300,000 in a.
Well,
it's a different odds.
Well, more. Well, you have to make sure that you pay attention because they don't advertise in this part of the state, but they have a New Year's drawing in Minnesota with the Minnesota Lottery.
Uh-huh.
And so usually those tickets go on sale, I don't know, it's like. Maybe before Thanksgiving time, but they go fast. They only sell a certain amount. I buy those every year, and they're $10, and they have two $1 million winners, and then they have a bunch of others. I've been buying these probably for 20 years. I just want to win a little prize. I don't need the $1 million prize. Just
seems like you're trying to win the $1 million prize.
No, I could care less. I mean, if I won the $1 million, great, but not even like hand warmers or a can koozie, like nothing. I am like the most unlucky person.
Bonnie would be funny though, because she's like, I wouldn't tell people I won the lottery, but there would be signs.
I'd still come to work because I like my job. I like to torture you, so I would still be here. But I think I'd be sitting on Easy Street when it came time to retire.
If you retired from working here, well, then I don't know. They might have to have a whole other morning show. I'm just saying.
Jason Friends.
That's not going to work long term, Bonnie.
We'll see. But yeah, no, I won't be retiring anytime soon because I'm not going to become a multimillionaire anytime
soon. Work harder. Try harder.
I will try.
Play more lotteries.
Oh. This popular restaurant chain is closing a bunch of locations amid bankruptcy proceedings. We'll tell you which restaurant chain coming up in your Money and Markets. That is straight ahead. 7:56, checking out your Money and Markets. The opening bell rings this morning after stocks closed mostly lower yesterday. On the brighter side, the Dow managed to hit a record high to start the week. Tech shares slid with NVIDIA down 2% ahead of its earnings report, which comes out tomorrow. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 65 points. S&P 500 lost 17 and the NASDAQ fell 152. Brian Kronk, managing partner of Collins and Kronk, will be in with us tomorrow morning at 7:45. Lots of stuff to ask him about tomorrow morning.
A historic SpaceX mission is on hold. The company announced yesterday it's postponing the launch of the Polaris Dawn mission. It was set to blast off this morning from Kennedy Space Center, but SpaceX says a groundside helium leak was found. The launch is now set for tomorrow morning. If everything goes as planned, the Polaris Dawn crew will take part in the first ever private spacewalk.
And those two astronauts are still stranded until February.
Well, they would pay Elon SpaceX Musk some money. Then maybe Elon would pick
get
them up
down quicker.
You want a ride? It's gonna cost you.
Red Lobster is going to be closing another 23 restaurants nationwide at the end of the month. I saw a couple in Minnesota. Two in Minnesota are closing.
Get your Cheddar Bay biscuits while you can.
I've seen in a local Facebook group somebody said the Fargo one is safe. So hopefully that's
the case.
Oh,
thank goodness! I've never been there. I mean.
You've never been
I've never been to that one.
Red Lobster. I haven't been there in a long time, but I like Red Lobster. The move comes after the Orlando-based company closed over 100 locations earlier this year. It's going through bankruptcy proceedings. The restaurant chain is in the process of selling itself to Fortress Credit Corporation, which recently gave the national chain $100 million to continue operating the roughly 500 restaurants it has remaining in the U.S. Red Lobster, just one of many companies currently struggling as inflation continues to rise and consumers cut back on expenses like dining out. Plus, there's other options for, fresh seafood, too, here locally anyway, and I'm sure nationwide as well.
Yeah. Albertson's planned merger with Kroger's is making its way to court on Monday. The $25 billion merger is being challenged by the Federal Trade Commission, which says it would lead to less competition and higher prices for consumers. The trial is taking place in federal court in Portland, Oregon, and is expected to last about 3 weeks. The two companies combined would impact nearly 600 stores nationwide. I don't know where the closest Albertsons or Kroger's is compared to us up here. I know there was Albertsons down
Twin
in Arizona.
Cities. I think Twin Cities might have some. Yeah. Iowa for sure.
Sure.
Yeah. This is interesting for you bill collectors out there. Not bill collectors, but like dollar bills, $5 bills. The $5 bill in your pocket might be worth a lot more than just $5. According to Go Banking Rates, $5 bills that have solid serial numbers, meaning all the numbers are identical, are worth thousands of dollars.
Interesting.
$5 notes with solid serial numbers are rare. Only 1 in 11 million are in circulation, which makes them worth as much as $2,000 each. Experts say if you find a $5 bill with solid serial numbers, take it to a coin shop. We've got some of those locally here. Mm-hmm. We'll appraise money and get it appraised. Now, everybody's looking through their wallet and purses. They're looking for $5 bills. I hardly ever have cash.
I mean, you're going to have to do something with it to get that $5,000 because I'm sure you're not going to walk into a store and be like, that $5 bill, it's worth like $5,000. So, I got some change coming back.
Yeah, that's not going to work that way. But yeah, I mean, if you have $5 bills sitting in your wallet or purse or just sitting around, check out the serial numbers match. It's kind of like a lottery thing.
I know. I like to have nothing smaller than a 20 like Bonnie Amistad.
Well, that I get them so I can buy those raffle tickets off Crash. I have $20 again. I used 20 at the farmer's market in Chicago.
Don't ask Bonnie if she could break a $10 bill for you. She's like, those things so small.
I'd use my debit card. I hardly ever have money on me. All right, Dr. Ola from Cirasset's going to be joining us in 10 minutes. We are going to talk about stress and how you can manage it. We are WDAY Fargo. It is 8 o'clock.
I'm Ty Schoenert with your news update. Fargo first responders are on the scene of a structure fire along Main Avenue. Several emergency vehicles responded roughly 5:05 a.m. in the 3200 block. While it's unclear what businesses the blaze began in, several establishments are nearby, including Napa Auto Parts and overloaded laundry service. Authorities not sharing if there's any injuries or the extent of the damaged structure. Now stay with us as more details become available. Bond said it $1 million for a Fargo man charged with stabbing 14-year-old Jalen Walker of Moorhead to death. 18-year-old Isaac Arndt charged with second-degree murder in the death of his former girlfriend, making his first appearance in Clay County Court yesterday after being extradited from Fargo. Walker found dead in a wooded area along a trail by the Red River from August 20th. An autopsy finding she died of multiple sharp force injuries to her back, torso, and to her neck. A Fargo man in custody after he allegedly assaulted a police officer at an apartment complex Saturday. Police called at the complex to remove 54-year-old Matthew Nystrom, who was reportedly trespassing and yelling that he had a gun. Police say Nystrom ran from officers when they approached, and he reportedly resisted arrest, kicking one of the officers while he was being arrested. He faces charges of trespassing, assault on a peace officer, preventing arrest, and terrorizing. Nystrom due in court on October 9th. West Fargo police say someone's been calling residents trying to scam them. The caller claims to be Sergeant Tyler Williams, telling residents they have an outstanding warrant and need to pay it off with gift cards. If you receive such a call, authorities urge you to hang up and call the Red River Regional Dispatch Center.
First with the news when you need to know, WDAYRadioNow.com.
8:02, time for a check on the local weather with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Dino?
And we're looking at a lot of clouds around for the first part of today, and a few light sprinkles now going on in the FM area. But again, these are very light. They're not going to amount to much. And then the rest of the afternoon, we'll see mainly cloudy skies, although we'll see some clearing towards evening with highs around 76 and a north wind at 5 to 15. We'll have generally clear skies tonight, very pleasant sleeping weather, mid-50s. And a light north wind. Winds ramp up out of the south tomorrow with winds gusting close to 30 at times and highs in the low 80s. We'll see a chance for storms coming in Wednesday night on a cold front. Some of those could be on the strong to severe side. And then a few light lingering showers on Thursday and windy on Thursday out of the west, gusting close to 40 with highs in the upper 70s. Upper 70s Friday, Saturday turns breezy. A cool front swings through with highs in the 70s. We'll drop into the low 70s on Sunday and back into the mid-70s on Labor Day. So a dry Labor Day weekend, a little breezy at times, but nothing bad, and plenty of sunshine, it looks like. So I don't know. I'd rather see 80s, a little more conducive for yeah. the pool or the lake. But even, you know, dry weather.
For that big hurrah before.
Dry weather and sunshine for Labor Day weekend, that's not bad. It's kickoff for football. Be a fun weekend.
Yeah, like the 70s are going to keep a party boy like you out of the pool. I highly doubt it.
Yeah, but
you get a heated pool,
on
Dean.
On 70s, here's the thing. There's a temperature threshold for the Speedo. So on 70s, I've got to wear just my basic trunks.
Yeah.
You know,
that's too
Once
bad.
Once you get into the 80s and 90s, then it's Speedo weather. Yeah. But 70s, that's pushing it.
I prefer your board shorts anyway.
The board shorts are a little more comfortable.
I was going to say, so, I prefer it stays super cold for you to get in the pool then, I guess. Put on a bodysuit. I don't know.
Some of the ladies might agree.
The bodysuit. That's something. That's something special.
Yeah, don't encourage. Some of the ladies might appreciate that, but I like your board shorts better. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Yeah, you're welcome. Love you, Dean.
All right. The weather's been brought to you by Red Wing Shoes in Fargo. Check out the Red Wing Super Sole 2.0. Great for tough work environments such as agriculture. This time-tested premium heavy-duty boot is built to get you through long hours of demanding work. It's highly resistant to chemicals and abrasions. Stop into Red Wing Shoes at 3003 Main Avenue in Fargo or check them out online at redwingshoes.com. It is now 8:05. We got a quick check of your national news, sports update from Big Game James McCarty when we come back, and then we're going to be joined by Dr. Alla from Cirrusset. All that and more coming up next. 8:09, time for a check on the local sports scene with sports director Big Game James McCarty.
Slow day in sports yesterday with the Redhawks being off. They hit the road, though. A 7-game road trip to wrap up the regular season, beginning in Kansas City tonight against the Monarchs. First pitch, 6:35. Redhawks have clinched a playoff spot. They have a record of 51-42. The Monarchs are on the outside looking in on the playoff picture at 42-51. The Twins were ambushed early. Bailey Ober's worst start of the season, giving up 9 runs and 2 innings of work. Then about an hour rain delay before the skies turned to kind of a pretty red and orange at the tail end of the evening before the sun went down. And the Twins would end up falling in that one after trying to mount a comeback. 10-6, 6 Twins driving in a single run in that loss. And round 2 against the Braves is at 6:40 tonight. Simeon Woods-Richardson on the bump for Minnesota. while the Braves will counter with Spencer Schwellenbach. Vikings, unfortunately, placing another player on the injured reserve list as interior offensive lineman Dalton Reisner has hit the IR. He has been battling back injuries that have limited his availability throughout practice and the majority of training camp. He will have to miss at least the first 4 weeks of the regular season, eligible to come back at the earliest week 5. And hopefully that's the last of the injuries we hear of before the season opener against the Giants on September 8th. Additionally, Primetime Sports Tonight at 6:30 with Jason and I right here on WDAY Radio. We'll hear from head coach Tim Polasek of the Bison, and we'll start previewing that game in Colorado against the Buffaloes on Thursday evening.
All right. Thank you, James.
It is 8:10. Life can be stressful. Might be a lot of frazzled parents out there as school is back in station, running in all different directions. And that's where Cirasset can help you. Dr. Ala joining us in studio now. Good morning to you, Doc.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Do you tend to get more calls this time of year? I mean, this...
100%.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. It's happening. People are like, ooh, summer's over. What am I going to do with all of the time I need to, you know...
It's a new set of juggling. Like, yeah. You're excited when school is winding down because it's just like rat race as a parent, and then kind of take a breath maybe for the summer. It gets a little more controlled, and then it just ramps back up.
Because as a parent, you have to do homework every day now.
So. Yeah, that too. And not only parents, the kids feel the stress too.
100%. The kids are going to get overwhelmed. You know, it's, again, any change is always something that we have to respond to. And change is great, mm-hmm. but it depends on where your start point is as how you respond to stress. So if you are starting at a level where your response is already maybe less robust than it should be, you're going to get overwhelmed. And mm-hmm. that homework and the practices and, you know, the band concerts and all those things that are on your radar for both the parents, of course, and the kiddos mm-hmm. and the siblings, because they're going to maybe get some attitude and maybe get some less gratitude.
Add a little more extra challenge to the mix, right?
Yeah, stress is a tough one. It's always there. It's the response to stress that Cirasset helps your brain optimize. If you could optimize how your brain responds to stress, every stressor you can walk through.
Yeah.
It's not going to be smooth, but mm-hmm. you're going to walk through it and get to the other end.
Yeah, especially, I mean, like you talk, Bonnie, I mean, it's... This time of year, there's changes. I know that my oldest, when she was little, she always, the transitions from, you know, fall clothes to winter clothes, winter to spring, spring to summer, and then summer going back to school and starting the whole process over again, that's hard. So a lot of times, without really realizing what a big deal it is to some people, the change, more than anything, change the schedule. My youngest, she loves to sleep all day. Now she's got to get up by 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. and get ready for school. Change, no matter if it's school or if it's other things in your life, that can affect a person's stress levels immensely.
Absolutely. We think about taking care of ourselves, brushing our teeth, you know, washing our face, getting the right food. What about the brain optimization? That's the most important mm-hmm. driver of your experience of life. What if it's not operating optimally? Cirasset can help your brain improve its optimization and response to stress.
How do you do it? Can you kind of walk
Absolutely.
Our listeners
the
through that?
The process of Cirasset. We start it with an introduction to Cirasset, where we want to measure two areas of the brain to understand how is your brain currently operating in the stress fitness category of its operations, and how is it operating in the emotional fitness category of its operation. When we establish those two areas of the brain's baseline, we can better advise if the Cirasset process is the right next best step. We use EEG sensors that are read-only. They're not going to do anything to your brain. Mm-hmm. And they literally are recording your brain in real time so that we can see how is it optimizing and or not. If you go through the process, what you get to experience is listening to your own brain in real time through the algorithm of Cirasset designed by our engineers. And the brain then goes into a deep relaxed state, allowing the brain to relax, rebalance, and reset. Increasing optimization to any stressor that comes your way, whether it's a decision on clothes, which for mm-hmm. kids is a big deal, yeah. whether it's a decision of get up and get on, you know, with my day and go and tackle that tough test that might be in front of me, whether you're a college student or just a grade school student, it matters, right? Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to get on the field and perform at the highest level. But if I'm anxious and stressed about
that
the game.
That causes stress, yeah.
100%. You want to show up to meet stress right where it is instead of it meeting you.
Now, I'm not the expert you are, Dr. Ala, but I have friends and family who I would consider high stress, and I like to kind of keep things in check. Not that I don't get stressed out at times, but I like to try to keep it under control, calm, cool, and collect. For those that might be a higher stress person, if that's a thing, is there help for them, or are they always going to have anxiety and stress?
You know what? They're going to have the opportunity to operate the way they were designed. And when the brain can kind of prune away all of those fallacies that we've kind of reinforced, we think the wrong things, we say the wrong things, sometimes we receive things in a wrong way. When that is optimized, that entirely starts to just decompress them. And off they go. They make better decisions. They make faster decisions. And they literally start to feel like themselves again. And when I hear a client say that, oh, I feel like myself again. I'm just like shaking like a puppy.
So you
so
can
happy.
Fix it. You can fix it.
Their brain can help restore that operating system. Yeah. Cirruset isn't going to fix it. It's going to help the brain fix itself, which is marvelous. No influence.
Do stress and anxiety go hand in hand, or are they two totally separate things?
Stress is a real thing. That's what makes us strong. So stress is always there. Anxiety is an ill response to the stress in front of you, right? And so for some, they physically may shake. For others, they may in their mind worry. And they're all going to describe it as anxiety. Some may have sweaty palms that they just don't know why, or sweating pits, and they're like overwhelmed. It's not anxiety and stress are the same thing. Stress is always there. That's what you have to get up every day. You got to move through it. The anxiety is your perceptive state of how that stress is either viscerally, physically affecting you, or emotionally, mentally affecting you.
Now, when you talk about Cirruset helping the brain relax, rebalance, and reset, it almost sounds like, this is maybe a bad analogy, but like when you talk about today's day and age with computers, the first thing the tech guy always tell you, did you restart it?
Control-Alt-Delete.
So this sounds like something like that for your brain, where it helps you relax and reset so that way you can kind of start fresh. Because sometimes in the old computer, the old cache, the hard drive, it simply needs to get rid of all that stuff, clear that memory bank, and then kind of have a fresh start.
Absolutely.
And I think this is kind of along those same lines, but except for a computer, it's the computer within our body, which is our brain.
Absolutely. And I always liken the process of Cirruset to the Control-Alt-Delete for the brain. I say that often because we can use that analogy, and we often, you know, have too many windows on our computer open. Yeah. What about all the windows in our head that's open?
Yeah.
Worrying about what to wear, what not to wear, who to talk to, who not to talk to. Do I need groceries? How many of them? You know, the finances, the education, the stuff that makes us who we are. And we have kind of unfortunately defaulted to saying, I'm overwhelmed, I'm anxious. What about saying I'm robust and strong and there's nothing in my way?
Right.
If our brain was optimized, there would be nothing in our way.
I believe when we had a client of yours on, that was a few months ago.
Tressica?
And she talked about after having even the first appointment at Cirruset, she really felt like she went, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Bonnie, that she went home and that night she had some of the best sleep she's had in
absolutely.
Months. And so to me, rest and sleep, especially deep sleep, is so important to helping that brain reset every day. And so it sounds like this Cirruset plan can also help with that, get that deep, restful sleep every night.
Absolutely. Our five pillars of Cirruset is number one, deep, restful sleep. When you have restored your sleep, your energy improves, your think improves, your ability to process, remember things improves, your overall response to new stressors is more optimized. You definitely will find that your mood improves, or you're like, you can even stand yourself finally. You know how that goes sometimes. And it's just a marvelous, marvelous process that is non-influential, rather supportive to your own brain's capacity and abilities.
How long does this take, Olive? Like, if we set an appointment with you, we come in,
So we do the introduction to Cirruset to establish if that's the next best step for the client based upon their goals. Thereafter, it's a 5-session process where we start the process, and we see clients anywhere between once per week or once every 10 days over a 5-week period. At the end of that process, we determine what is the next schedule of maintenance needed for that client based upon their outcomes and based upon their future goals of what they're trying to optimize. Again, we're not fixing something, we're optimizing. And so it's like taking your computer to the next level. And people's goals change. Sometimes it's, I can't sleep, I want to sleep. So once that restored, they might say, hey, I want to remember things better. I want a sharper, you know, more focused brain. Can that be something Cirrus can assist me with? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Your faculties are there. It's just a matter of pruning away the things that have marred its, you know, marvelous capacity.
Like filter out some of that clutter that's taken up extra headspace there. And children too, you work with, like, how
100%.
How
we've seen 2-year-olds to, 102-year-olds. So we've seen a broad range. As long as we can get that little person in the chair to sit, you know, it's pretty amazing. They, little people's brains are so plastic. They just change super fast.
What would it be about, say, a toddler, what a parent might be noticing that
sleeplessness, anxiousness at a young age, restlessness, combativeness, you know, just can't settle, not sit still. 2-year-olds move, but just they can't get settled in an emotional context and they're overwhelmed. And so that's been a game changer for little people as well. It's been amazing.
And worrying about stuff too.
They worry. Yeah. Our kiddos worry.
Very good. And then, is there is insurance covered
by Cirrus? No, this is a self-pay.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's good to know though, too, but make that first appointment.
We are not a medical, establishment. It doesn't fall under those guidelines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But looking to help individuals and families out there.
100%. If you want to learn more, please reach out to us and we can certainly have a conversation, a discovery call to determine if Cirrus is the next best step for you and your family.
Who doesn't want to bring down your stress level if you're stressed out?
You want to optimize your response to stress rather than bring the stress level down. Bring stress on and be so ready to take
crush it.
Exactly. Crush it. And instead of always feeling like you're behind that, behind that, instead of be ahead of it, meet it where it comes because it's always coming.
Yeah. You bet. And how do our listeners find you?
You can find us at 3029 Brant Drive South here in Fargo. You can give us a buzz at 701-566-5231. Talk to myself or Laura, and we will definitely do our best to further explain the process, answer any questions, and we're always available.
Yeah, and check out your website too, Cirreset.
Cirreset.com, Cereset. That means Cerebral Reset, BrainReset.com.
I guess I never asked you what that stood for.
Cerebral.
Now it makes all sense.
It's a tough one, but once you get it, you're like, oh, cerebral.
Yeah,
brain.
Makes sense.
Brain reset.
You bet. Dr. Alla, thanks for coming in
Thank
studio.
Thank you for
Appreciate
having
it.
Me.
You bet. Get a hold of them over there at Cirreset. Check out their website, Cirreset.com, too, if you want to send them an email. It is 822 Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. We've got Bison Apparel that we're giving away all week long right here on WDAY Radio. Kristen was our winner this morning. Your next opportunity to win will be on the Coffee Club with Janae and Ronnie, Weather and Egg Radio, and then the Jay Thomas Show. We've got t-shirts, sweaters, sweatshirts, caps, you name it. Lots that you can pick from if you are our winner. The Coffee Club, Janae and Ronnie, are waiting out in the wings of the lobby, and we're going to bring them in a couple of minutes and find out what they have planned on today's show. Right now, it's time to head to the American Ag Network. 826, the Coffee Club, Janae and Ronnie joining us in studio now. Good morning to the two of you.
Good morning.
Sup. Ronnie still in his short sleeves, and we're already ready for fall.
It's cold out today.
I know, I'm not going to say it's cold because Dean wants to thump me when I complain that it's too hot out
it
there.
It is.
It's nice out.
I like
to call this perfect fat guy weather.
I like when you have to grab a jacket, like hoodie, jacket, sweater, whatever it is. And you guys wear short sleeves all winter long, don't you, Ronnie?
That's right, yeah.
Well, it's fine for the most part. This room is colder than out there. I know that.
This is only a problem when I go home and try to put on a light jacket and then shovel in the 30 below as it's blowing in my face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've got like a sports, you don't even have like a heavy, I've never seen you in a heavy, heavy winter jacket, Ronnie.
The only one that I've got, I guess, that would be considered, heavier thermal-ish is my starter Nebraska
Yeah,
jacket.
That's the one that you wear, and that's not even
heavy.
That's
what he wears all winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess run hot.
By the way, he's had that since high school.
Yeah, I have.
Still fits, so good for you. My Letterman's jacket does not fit me. That's from seventh grade, though.
It needs a new zipper on the front and some sewing repairs to the pockets. So if anybody
But you're
has
loving
any,
it to death.
Yes, if anybody has any suggestions on where I can do that.
The seamstress would be just throwing the garbage. Just burn it.
Nah.
No, that it came from his parents.
Yeah, that was a Christmas gift my junior year of high school.
My mom was an amazing seamstress, but my dad had certain things that he had. had from his service in Korea, you know, like his big choppers and his fish house. There were certain things my dad refused to throw out, so my mom would not sew them. So my dad just had his big old darning needles, and he would sew his own stuff when he needed to. You probably in the military, you had to learn to sew, no?
Yeah, we
in basic training.
We had to learn to give some money to our roommates to sew our stuff.
Is that how it worked?
Yeah.
Ronnie, so you can't like sew a little hole in clothing?
No, I can. I mean,
it's just not going to look very good.
Mine doesn't look good either.
No, mine's just a mess.
Stitching is going to be terrible. But yeah, I mean, if I absolutely had to, I could probably put a patch on.
Make sure that it doesn't fall off. It might not look the greatest, but it won't fall off.
Yeah. Exactly.
I always hated when the girls were in Girl Scouts and they won their patches or whatever, and you were supposed to like sew them onto their sash.
Mm-hmm.
I like the iron-on ones, but they never really stuck really
good.
You had to still sew
them. The girls were in this church one. It was kind of like Scouts in a sense. It was a WANA club, and they had some patches or whatever they could put on a vest, and they just never stuck.
They don't.
Even though they say, oh, they're iron-on. No, they're not.
Are you a seamstress, Janae?
I can sew if I have to.
I can. It doesn't look pretty. I'm able to, but it does not look good at all.
I remember James's pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, they worked and they stayed up for his
wedding.
They did. That was the key. I told him right off the bat, it's not going to look good, but.
It looked a lot better than I would have done. I would have used that double-sided tape that you get for our hemming tape or
that
whatever it's called.
That stuff doesn't work perfect either.
So. It worked on a pair of my dress pants for many, many years, Bonnie.
Oh, many years. That's funny. What are you guys doing on the show today?
Well, nonprofit day of the week. Sue Barron's going to jump in. The Sox drive is starting up, and she's got other stuff going on. So we're going to visit with her a little bit. Minnesota, true or false questions I'm going to ask Ronnie. We're both North Dakota people, so we'll see.
Fine.
False.
We'll see how it goes.
Oconomowoc is not in Minnesota. True or false?
That'll be fun to listen to. I'm born
Jason
and raised
from
in Minnesota.
Brent Smith stops in today.
Oh, okay. That'll be fun.
So we'll have him on too.
And you guys have some Bison apparel you're going to be giving away, brought to you by PetroServe USA.
We had our first
winner this morning, so that's cool.
Very, very cool.
All right.
Yeah. All fun stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what all they're winning, but they have the choice of picking it out by their size.
I did ask Crystal. Yeah. T-shirts, sweaters, sweatshirts, and caps.
Yeah, she's getting some caps.
And probably some other stuff, too.
That is quite a plethora of Bison gear. Wow, okay.
First come, first serve. The sooner you win, the sooner you get to pick out what you want. So, all right, well, stay tuned for the Coffee Club. All that and more coming up. Jason and I are wrapping up. We'll be back 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right, it is 8:30. Have a great day.